WAFU. The early worm gets the good donut, I take it.
Good morning, Dakota. Good morning, Donald. Yeah, I guess so. It's the cat. The cat's got me on a new schedule.
Go ahead, Dakota. I'll follow after you.
Good morning, gents.
Yes, it's Monday, but yes, it is also a good morning. Beautiful weather. Couldn't ask for anything better over the last week and all the way through to this Saturday. There's going to be no rain in the forecast till Saturday, and they're just saying scattered storms for the weekend.
KARUH. Morning, Donald. I don't know who else is out there.
Sean and Dakota are around. They just teed up before you did.
Give me one sec. I want to get the MI-1 connected back up.
That's all right. I turned my radio on this morning, and I hear one radio talking, and the other one's dead silent. I forgot that my HT was on the race frequency while I was downtown over the weekend, and I forgot to switch it back. So I had a moment.
All righty, there we go. All connected back up. So, good morning, Anthony. Dakota?
Morning, Anthony. I'll be in the truck here in a minute. I'm messing with this amp that I'm buying off of Greg, making sure I know what the hell I'm doing. I've had some wonky issues with it.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
I see everyone's in a hurry this morning, or not at all. I find it very hard to hurry on nice days like this, and after good weekends when I'm good and tired, not easy making it out the door. I'd rather sit on my porch and drink coffee.
Well, I'll tell you right now, I couldn't have had more perfect weather for the Grand Prix downtown. Friday was a little hot. We got up into the 80s. That's just a concrete jungle down there. It's got to be the worst place to put a raceway track, and I wish to God they go back to Belle Isle. But all that concrete, fresh concrete, white reflective concrete, reflection off the rims and what's left of it, everything else, oh, my God, Friday was a barn burner. But Saturday and Sunday, the weather was perfect. You couldn't ask for more better weather.
Sure, where I slip in now. I guess I'll go after Donald before Dakota. But did the race already run or what? I don't follow enough to know what the status is. I knew it was going on, but I saw some stuff on TV. Knew you were down there, but might comment when it comes back around what the schedule is. It's over. And you said what's left of the Remsen. I didn't know they began that project yet. So that's news to me. If they started that, I know they're going to take two of the towers down to open up some more waterfront. But I did not believe that was started. Anywho, I think I'll take the high route in so I can stop and get the car washed this morning. Living on a dirt road is a pain. Cars are constantly coated in dust. Dakota?
Yeah, I can relate to that. I'm not really sure why I decided to get a black truck. We have two black trucks now, and we live on a dirt road with a asphalt milling driveway. Therefore, they're never clean.
Well, I know even at my house with all the concrete and everything, there's just my cars are coated with dust also, and I for the first time in a very long time, took my wife's car to get a car wash, and it was like, oh, that's what it looks like. We should probably do this a little more often. It's pretty nice.
Well, for me, every car I've owned except for one was a black car. Even my company cars from Honda were black.
But I ordered once a burgundy colored Nissan Maxima, and about 2 months after I got it, I got rear-ended at about 45 miles an hour at Gratiot Metro Parkway. And the guy says he never saw me, and it's like, okay, went back to black after that. And Sean, yeah, the event takes over the city of Detroit from basically Thursday through Sunday, so it's all over with. So now it's taking all of it apart. And as far as the rents then, once GM started moving out those back two towers on the riverfront side, on Atwater, they've gone dark since January. And if you see the entire Renaissance Center lit up at night with the neon around the top, those two towers are pitch black. They've already started doing the demolition work on the inside. They opened up the atrium, the Winter Garden, or whatever they call it there, for the Grand Prix area, but the towers themselves are pretty much vacant, and the restaurants, Joe Muir's and Andiamo's, should be out pretty soon. Before fall, I think both of those restaurants are pulling up.
Well, I know that's weird, unless they're in those two back towers, because my understanding was that the main tower and the two front towers, the two northern towers, were staying. The two southern towers that were getting removed. So don't know why everybody's moving out, unless those two places are in those two towers. Or maybe they got to relocate during the construction or the demolition or something. I don't know. I don't know what the plan is. Suppose I could look it up. And, Dakota, you said something about buying an amp from Greg. What are you getting?
Yeah, I don't know much about the city, but it's that little Matoa. It's like that boutique one from Indonesia. It's like, I think it's 10 through 80, and it'll do up to 100 watts. It's sweet. It's tiny. It's just, it's been super inconsistent with the SWR, so I'm trying to figure out why.
Dakota, does that mean you're feeling under the weather this week? When it comes back around to you, let me know. And, Sean, I don't know what tower is and isn't closing and being demolished, but I wouldn't be surprised if those restaurants are pulling out just because the volume of people are not there and they can find a better location for less money, especially in the interim while they're doing all the construction.
For Anthony and Sean, the two restaurants, Joe Muir's and Andiamo's, Joe Muir's is moving to the new hotel or apartments or condos that are located where the Joe Louis Arena used to be. I can't remember, but I believe it's a Marriott. And that's where Joe Muir's is going to be moved to. And as far as Andiamo's, I have not heard anything else about their steakhouse, even though Andiamo's owns Joe Muir's now. They're the parent company for the Joe Muir family of restaurants. And the towers, again, are the towers that are on the south side that face Canada, the two 39-story towers. So you'll have the two 39-stories on the Jefferson side, and the main center hotel tower will still be standing. The whole riverfront side is going to be reconfigured, and if you look up renovations to the Renaissance, you Google it or something like that, you'll see the renderings of what it's going to look like. And in my opinion, it's going to look hideous and off-balanced.
Well, I put the whole thing in a cardboard tube to paint the very top orange like a push-up. That's what I do. Dakota?
No, Anthony, I'm going to the office here in a little bit. Today's actually my last day at Priority.
Well, that works out well. You had a week off, and then you go back for one day and then move on to the next chapter. That's pretty nice. Do you have a gap in between? Are you taking a week, or you hit the ground running tomorrow? I don't be out there.
I didn't want to mess up the rotation, but I'll be starting tomorrow.
I heard something because I've been off the air for a few days here with the Grand Prix, and I heard mentioned something, and all I can say is, wow, I'm off the radio for 3 days, and all this stuff happens. Well, good luck. I wish you well. Hope everything goes well with the change, and, you know, sounds rather sudden. No explanation necessary because I've experienced those kind of things, but wish you all the best, Dakota. Hope it all goes well for you. Sean?
Yeah, it sounds like congratulations are in order. Very good. I know you said something, but you didn't want to talk about it without until things were shored up, so I'm assuming sounds like things are all shored up, so be curious to what happened when you can discuss it. And I'm sure it's a good move.
It's nothing crazy, just switch it back to a more flexible hybrid job. And I had told you that ever since the PE came in, I didn't plan on sticking it out anyway. So I actually formally called my boss on Saturday and resigned and said, hey, I'll be in Monday to turn my stuff in and help with whatever I can help with, but I'm done.
Well, you're doing it, properly. You offered to assist with any changeover, and again, in due time, you'll explain it to some of us. But I, like I said, I've been in those situations where one was when I left Verizon. There was an incident that was going down, and I didn't want to be the whistleblower and face the consequences, so I bailed before it happened. And when the stuff finally hit the fan, they asked me to come back, and I said, nope, you wouldn't listen to me the first time. So that was it for my time with Verizon. All right, Sean, go ahead. I am going to step out. I have to get myself back to some form of abnormality after being, busy with racing and all that. So I'll be monitoring and stepping out of the rotation, W8RCY. Sean, go ahead.
Anthony, did we miss you?
Yeah, but just go ahead and I'll catch you back on the next go-around.
All right, anyhow, yeah, so usually, Dakota, that's exciting. I can't imagine it's not exciting to move. It's got to be better in some way or another, or else you wouldn't do it. And, it's your guy's got to be a little shocked, so, but, did he have a clue it was coming? Or you hit him on Saturday with it, and he didn't know any better. It's not that it matters. I'm just curious what today's going to be like for you.
I don't know. I know they have a plan, so I don't really care. They didn't really complain that I gave them a short notice, and my whole thing is PE when they gave me 2 weeks, so why should I give you 2 weeks? So I think today is going to be a very brief day.
Yeah, you'll likely be out of there before lunch. They're not going to want you sticking around.
Exactly what I'm hoping for. Just to make sure I understand.
We got bought out by private equity.
Is that a company?
What's that?
I say, is that a company? It sounds like a description.
No, it's private equity, so a bunch of rich bankers.
All right, and somebody from that group has been put in charge now. That's the complaint, I'm assuming.
Long and short of it, yeah, there was a cherry-picked CEO, and then they have an agenda, right? Company wants to do it great, so they've got a checklist of what they're going to do, and I kind of could see the writing on the walls of the change coming, so I was like, yeah, I'm not waiting around. See you guys later.
I understand. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Good for you. Anywho, go ahead, Anthony.
Yeah, those can be weird situations, and Dakota, you probably made the right move. You know, it wasn't going to be a great situation for a long time, and that's assuming that they didn't just axe a ton of people in the meantime, and then, you know, you're out on the streets as opposed to having a sealed-up game plan. So I'm sure you made the right decision. Probably feels a lot better anyways.
Good morning.
What's so good about it?
Well, it sounds like somebody's getting a new place of employment, so congratulations. Goes well. I guess that means now we're all going to have to pay our own garbage bills. Go ahead, Dakota.
Yep, it's a little bit more flexibility, some way better perks, and I'm losing my nanny, so she's like, she's done with school, so she's getting a full-time, you know, big girl job, and I'm losing her, so I gotta be able to adapt.
Ooh, that's
there you go.
Awesome.
It works.
So now are you gonna be home with the kids during the workday?
My wife is working on getting a full-time remote gig, so the good thing is he naps for like 3 hours a day, and then we're gonna have to obviously phone in the grandmas and say, hey, you're gonna have to start hanging out with us for a little bit because we got work to do.
Is this a remote job or a stay-at-home job?
It's hybrid. I don't know if you guys remember my last job, but it's the same company. I called my old boss and was like, hey, I'm over this place. You need any help? And he's like, actually, I do. So we had a good discussion and coming back on good terms with some sweet incentives. So we'll see how that goes.
Go ahead, Sean. WADD.
Well, don't mind me. I'm trying to plan here. Where am I going to get my coffee? I got to get my car washed. And I'm passing Dakota's former, well, I guess still current employer right now. Just passing. So drive time is going to be altered.
Oh, yeah. I'll be catching you guys from my pajamas with a cup of coffee now.
Welcome to the club. Anthony.
Just thinking about how I haven't charged my 5550 bag in like 2 weeks, and would you believe it, it's dead. Hopefully my 2730 is charged.
You've got to get that working. It's a nice little package there. Sean, go ahead.
Yeah, circling back on this amp, I take it this is something like QRP, the 100, something like for the 705, is that the thought?
Yeah, that's exactly what the plan is. He bought it for his Elecraft. It's sweet, it works great, it's just so weird, the SWR is all over the place. A cap fell off the first time, and SWR was off the charts, and he was able to fix it, and now like 40 and 80, are between 2 and 3, but like 20 is at like 1.4. So, and it's not my antenna. Double checking that right now. It's up in the air, looks good. Make sure there's no birds on it. Yeah, so I don't know what the hell's going on.
Was this that picture you posted? Is that what you're talking about in your 4x4?
No, that is the Spider Beam 12 meter mast. I was tuning an 80-meter dipole.
Okay, Sean, I need your help on that comment.
Where'd Anthony go? We lose him?
I just got back. But go ahead and give Wally a little rundown on what that is, because I could use a little refresher. I think I know what Dakota was making, but we'll see.
Well, I heard spider beam. I don't know what you need explanation on. I'm not 100% sure, so I'm going to throw it to Dakota.
So the long and short of it, wow, I forgot that there's no PPT alarm. The long and short of it is the spider beam is just that mass, and then I have like a roll-on flagpole holder thing that I just parked my four-wheeler on, and then put the mast up. So I have these little BNC binding posts that you can just run leads of wire off of. So I have one for 40, and then I tuned another NFED yesterday, and I was like, well, I'm doing this. I've got enough wire. I'm going to do an 80-meter. And my plan was to make one that was like kind of in the middle of 80 because it's so broad to where it's usable, so I could do wind link and a single sideband, but ended up cutting it too short for wind link, and then I realized that I was never going to be able to do it without a tuner, so then I cut it for a single sideband, which is fine, but the whole intent was for, like, the wind link stuff, because it's not like I'm just going to be portable working on 80, so that's what I was doing.
Very good.
That Starbucks get me for a round or so.
Okay, I got it. I know I do it because this thing is full duplexing. It's kind of cool. This is really neat. I watched a YouTube video last night. It was about a half hour long. It was about the rise and fall of amateur radio, and I'll post it on FBI. You guys got to watch it. It's a half hour long. It's really, really good, but it was how powerful and influential amateur radio was in the early days after the turn of the century and things of that nature, and how smart they were and all that, and how everybody wanted to be in the ham radio. I forget what the numbers were, 700, 800,000. It was a lot, and it was really worth watching. And they talked about when they went to no code, how it had a relatively insignificant effect on people wanting to become amateur radio operators or licensees. And they were basically saying the reason for the fall of it is the older crowd. And they were making comments about the age discrepancies and the older crowd, and how the older crowd wasn't very welcoming to the younger crowd. And that was kind of like the beginning of the, and I don't want to say ham radio is dead, but they say it's down by half. And it was like the beginning of the demise of ham radio. It was pretty interesting. Dakota, go ahead.
Connected to CMN Network.
I believe it. There's a lot of sad hams, they call them. No, I just think there's too many crafty people, and it deters the younger people from getting into it. Like, fortunately, Wyatt's able to join a decent community around here where everyone's welcoming, but I know that's not always the case. You know, even, I mean, I don't want to call myself, like, a super young guy, but it's like, I feel like any younger, it would be more challenging to communicate and relate with you guys. Not trying to sound ageist or anything, but, like, you guys are my dad's age, right? So, it's just different. Not a lot of people jump into this stuff because I've got the stupid cell phones in their pockets, which, no lie, I've been researching dumb phones.
You should get one. You could start the progression. I've been thinking about it for a long time. It'd be real nice to only be able to call and T9 text. It'd be fun. But, yeah, it is interesting how things change and how the whole thing is gatekept, you know, like people don't want to share information. And like Dakota said, we're pretty lucky. There's a lot of people that are real active around here that are all willing to help and share. And but it can be tough. I can only imagine if you're somewhere else that there's not a lot of people, it's even harder. So. Yeah, that's an interesting video. I'll definitely watch it when you post it, Wally. There was also a good one. They had that Ham Radio Crash Course had an emergency manager on Saturday night, and it was a really good one. Wally, you may be interested in watching it and passing it along to a couple of the other guys in ARPSC. So over to you, Wally.
Yeah, it was really enjoyable. I enjoyed all the stuff. And, you know, the other thing they talked about was FT8 and how FT8, I never knew this, but it was so controversial because they said it was like 20 dBs below what you could hear. The guy was trying to take advantage of, you know, the poor ionospheric conditions at the time. And FT8 was kind of like, it's not ham radio, no voice. So no, a lot of them wanted nothing to do with that, and that hurt it a lot. And then they were also talking about PCs. A lot of the younger generation at the time went into the PC world because that was their little domain that they didn't have to, what's the way, I don't know, I'll just say it, they didn't have to listen to it. You know, if I may, so that's another reason why. I mean, it was really, really well done. I mean, I said it harder than the way they did it, but that was the message. Sean, did you get us a coffee yet?
Yes, I did. Got some Jack Wagon. Man, I'll tell you what. I don't know why I find him every morning. But now I just got to get my car washed, get back in. I saw that I didn't finish it. I saw like 90% of it. Then I had to turn it off and go deal with something. And I saw where they were saying that, you know, the older crowd wasn't as welcoming. I don't buy it. I think that might have some effect. I think the reason numbers are down in ham radio is because it's just the kids have phones, these phones now. All the things that we sit there at Star Yard going, oh, you can talk all over the world and you can do this, you can do that. They're like, shrug, I can do that with my phone. They just don't see, I just don't think they see the allure. I think that's all it is. And then I think what of us are in the hobby are fragmented. We've got so many hidey holes. Everybody doesn't like somebody. Used to be in the past, you have to learn how to get along with people. Nowadays, you don't. You could be all autistic and off on your own little world, and you know, and you and just you know, your tiny, tiny circle of friends, and nobody has to, you know, get along. And so, you know, it makes for, you know, if you find a click, you're great. And if you don't find a click, then you know, this ain't for me.
I'm going to butt in here real quick. Yeah, but I think that's society also. It's not just ham radio. I think that's society. You have many little places to run to, like, okay, oh, I don't like that, I don't like this. You know, I think that that's another thing that's added to it as well. But, you know, on the thing with the ham radio stuff, okay, over here, yes, in this side of the state, because I've been, you know, in the west side. When I first got into it, when I was in my 20s, I'll tell you what, they were just mean. They were just mean, insulting on the radio and, you know, and things like that, you know. And there was only one guy that was kind of welcoming, and, you know, I talk about him a lot in front of you, Sean. So let's see, who can you give this to? Anthony, go ahead.
Yeah, Wally, I do agree with you. It is society that everybody just goes off into their corner and lives in their echo chamber. So I think Sean's right. I think you're right. It's just, it's an interesting experiment in human personality. So, I think it goes over to Dakota. Dakota?
Don't get me started on society. My only regret so far with ham radio is I didn't get into it sooner. I would have killed to know about it and have my license during COVID. I'm so pissed I didn't. Sat in the house for however long doing nothing, playing a ton of video games. It would have been so much more fun. I'd be curious what the influx of licenses was during that time period. Like if that initiated a boost of applicants and testing, or if it was kind of status quo throughout it. But that's the thing. Kids don't get it. Kids don't care. They got their stupid phone. I hate my phone. I don't want a phone. I have a phone because I have to have a phone. I would so much rather run around with a walkie-talkie all day. That's not even a lie.
All right, gentlemen, I got to pull the antennas off the car here and run through the car wash. I will be back in a few. Stubby had a few.
Go to talk group 1020. Wink, wink. Yeah, I don't know. They said it was a short-lived window. I'll probably rewatch it. But they said if you're talking about the no-code thing, they said that was a short-lived window. It didn't have the impact that they wanted. And, you know, PC stuff had some, you know, because there's still a bunch of us geeks, you know, younger generation out there. I mean, you know, I'm talking to a couple of them, you know, so that's you know, but a lot of them migrated towards PCs and things of that nature. Dakota, go ahead. W8BD.
Don't get me wrong, I spent a ton of time on a PC, but at the same time, it's my profession. I kind of have to be a savant with it, for lack of a better explanation. But I agree, and then, you know, with that, probably getting nice noise right now, sorry, with that, all these kids that want to sit on a PC all day, they become introverts. And the last thing they're ever going to do is pick up a radio and talk to strangers.
Dakota, you must be in the dead spot. It's you're getting in pretty rough there. But I am going to – I just got in the office, so I will catch up with you guys a little bit later. K-E-A-R-U-H, everybody have a good day. Dakota, have a good last day. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Introverts are where
we're better at. Yeah, there's a hole between my repeater and the Romeo repeater. It's like a half a mile.
I thought we had a guest in there. Go ahead, WAD.
I was saying radios where introverts shine.
They didn't give us any credit for that. Sean was here a little bit, but he took his antennas off. Today's car wash day. I read that, saw that on the news in one of my little news feeds this morning. Car wash day.
I was in on the conversation before, and then I bailed just before you jumped in. But, yeah, for me, as old as I am, and not getting my ham license, what, not even 18, 19 months ago, I look back at it and I have some regrets not getting my ham license sooner. But for me, out of high school, 74, you had to, you know, you still had to do the code and everything else, and I had a couple of papers, a couple of police officers in St. Clair Shores that tried to direct me that way, and I said, no, I went into GMRS, and that's why my GMRS history is so long, and unfortunately, GMRS is not what it was when I joined in 1978, but, yeah, it's interesting, you know, how times have changed, and how people look at things now with DMR and everything else to, and use the internet to talk around the world instead of, you know, the old school way of putting towers up in your backyard and things like that. But, excuse me, in a small way, I wish I did. And again, glad I didn't, kind of a thing. So I'm like 50-50 on the fence with it.
There was another person that you doubled with. Go ahead, WAD.
That was me.
The floor is yours.
Not a whole lot to add. Just meandering my way in. All I said was I truck washed. I washed my truck on Saturday, and it needs another one already. I mean, didn't even really go anywhere.
Who was the introvert comment? Was that Fred? Go ahead.
I said I sound like Fred, but I don't hear it. Hey, do you?
There you go. Sorry.
Yeah, Mother Nature decides when my car gets washed.
Yeah, I got a busy day today. I got to run down to Delta Airlines. We sold them a whole bunch of stuff, and I'm going to be there from about 11 to 4, and I get to try to drive home at 4 o'clock from the airport. Oh, lucky me.
Don't worry, traffic's never bad at that time.
Yeah, it took me 2 hours to get home last week. Ugh, I'm doing it again. Then tomorrow, I get to go golfing with the Ford people. So that's an all-day thing out in Novi. So Dakota's got nothing to do tomorrow. Just kidding. They're pretty fussy about who they let in there. But I'm going to go golfing. It'll be the first time I did it this year. Lance, go ahead.
Thursday before Memorial Day, it took me 2 hours to get home. And Friday, I was like, screw it, I'm working from home. I'm not dealing with that traffic.
That's because most Michigan people only think a vacation is up north.
That's a fact. I'm not much of a golfer, so you don't have to worry about that. I can't even pretend to be a golfer.
Well, the nice thing about it is it's a scramble, so all you have to do is know how to drive a golf cart and drink. Lance?
Yeah, I'm one of those that I never know if the ball's going to go 20 feet or 200 yards.
Well, I can handle the drinking part.
Nice thing with the drinking part, that's three. They pick up the tab. Well, I don't want to say three. We had to pay them to do this outing and sponsor a hole. But whatever, it's worth it. We get more than enough business out of those guys. So, and we lost Anthony. I think he's going to do the noble thing and go to work. We'll probably hear Dakota back here about 8:30. Sean, is the car pretty and shiny?
Morning, Wally. WARCY, I did try to jump back in, and I may have caused a bad double.
No, actually, good morning. You were more powerful. You're on a node, right, I think? I'm on my repeater phone. I like this repeater phone because you can hear doubles. So if somebody started talking, I can hear it. So it's really, that is really, really cool. How'd your weekend go? I know you worked. I did catch that early this morning.
Actually, I did not work. I was down at the Grand Prix and the Indy 500 the previous weekend, Memorial weekend, for fun. Since I'm part of the old guard of IndyCar officials, I get credentialed very easily, and it doesn't really cost me anything to get in. But, yeah, a lot of us in the old guard are getting up there to the point where we're starting to lose people, and we held a gathering on Thursday night at the Fountain Hotel downtown, and there's about 70 of us there that are in town for both the IndyCar race and the IMSA sports car race. And, it was just a nice gathering and get together. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the racing. And you couldn't ask for more better weather, that's for sure. But it was all fun, no work.
Well, that's good. It's always nice to know people. Dakota, go ahead.
Forgot that was this weekend. The Dicom feels like a game. I don't know why it feels.
Change the subject. I've been working on a repeater.
As in you're going to get a repeater on the air, like you're refurbishing one or what?
As long as my site doesn't bail on me, we might have one. And depending on where it goes, what it happens, things of that nature. Right now it's leaning towards DMR. Hiccup is it's VHF. Other hiccup is if I can get a pair or grow a pair or some sort of pair. I don't know. But I'm one step closer covering the northeast part of the county. The hiccup is there's so many dynamics.
Thinking about mine the other day, I want to move it to a better location so it does better, but it doesn't really benefit Macomb.
No, that's not important. I mean, you know, you got to have coverage everywhere. Everybody worries about their backyard, which is true. I mean, that's a good thing. You know, I'm worried about my backyard. You know, I should get a good effective range, 15 miles maybe. You know, and you worry about you, you know, because then that way, you know, it all becomes bigger. So that'll be kind of nice. So, but in a new paradigm, what are these things? Hold on here. Hiteras. So, I mean, they're the same, but they're different. So the learning curve, there's a lot in the learning curve. Go ahead, Dakota.
Yeah, that's true. If everyone kind of grows their own system and it fills it in, kind of like those mesh nodes. But, I mean, I have, with my antenna, I'm not worried about my coverage. I can hit half a dozen other repeaters with like 5 watts. So that's not the issue. It's just, you know, I feel like it's, A, there's probably 2 people that use it. B, there's probably way better locations for it where it would benefit the greater good. It makes my room pretty damn warm.
Yeah, I had the privilege of getting a tour in one of the commercial ones this weekend, and oh my gosh, you should see the size of the cooler units in there to compensate for all the heat those things make. Unbelievable. I mean, 2 monsters in a room that was probably as big as a good-sized master bedroom. And there were, I think, 21 of them running that I could count or so. And, yeah, I can imagine what you're getting for heat.
For the colder months, but now I definitely notice that I got a hygrometer on my desk, so I've got humidity and or humidistat, whatever the hell it is, a hygrometer. So I got humidity and temp, and I can literally watch, like, when there's a CISO going on, I watch it come up a couple degrees in the room. So it's on the desk that the repeater's under, so I'm sure that plays into it, but you can definitely feel it. That with a monster gaming PC, 2 32-inch monitors and a 27-inch monitor, it gets pretty toasty in there pretty quick, so that's why I was like, I'd really love to rehome this thing somewhere else.
Yeah, that's the thing with the repeater. Here comes the heat. John, did you make it back yet? Yeah.
Does it squeak now?
Okay, what do I need to do? Do I need to talk or something?
Yes, sir. It's your turn.
Yeah, I had to pull my antennas off, and it was only a half mile to the shop from there, so I didn't rush back out and put them on. When I got to the shop, I threw them on, but then I was there, so I figured I'm going to go inside, get my computer fired up, so here I am. I'm back. What was the discussion? I'm not sure.
Well, I don't think it was anything important. Oh, about all the heat being generated in the shacks. Dakota was talking about how much heat his repeater makes, and I was telling him about this weekend I had the privilege of going into one that took 2 monster air conditioners to get rid of all the heat. So, something you know about.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Yeah, heat's a definite thing with a repeater, so that's what fans are for, but That's where people screw up. You know, it's like the difference between mobiles. You know, you can take 2 mobiles, wire them together, and voila, instant repeater. What you're not taking into account is duty cycle and heat. That's where repeaters are good ones anyhow. And that's why, you know, some of the cheaper repeaters where they're just 2 mobiles in a box are like, eh.
Dakota, was he talking about your leaking?
Definitely gets warm. It's just 25 watts, but I think those fans I put in there definitely added some longevity to it.
Yeah, I don't think you'll have any problem. I think that thing was designed for a higher duty cycle. And, you know, they will generate heat. I mean, you know, that's what they do.
All right, everyone, I got to step out of here. I got to get ready for work. I got a busy, busy day. I'll be on the radio for probably an hour and 20 when I'm heading towards the airport. So you guys have a good day, and I will chat later. W8V.
Yeah, I got to get to it as well. Catch you later. WFU.
All right, guys. I'll catch you later. N8CBS.
By the way, Lance, that thing's still double bumping, but it seems to be with specific types of IAX connections.
Yeah, I wonder why it's doing that. It's only the disconnect, it's not the connect.
Yeah, like if I use my node, which is at 48000, if I use my regular old node, it's just one connect, one disconnect. But if I use DV switch programmed as my node, not doing an IAX connection direct to your system, but using it like a node where it registers with register.allstarlink.org, you use your node number, you use your node password, using DV switch that way. If I connect, you get one, and when you disconnect, you get two. It's only when you use the app as a node. It's very weird. So I'm not too worried about it, but that's what was going on. I was using my app as a node, and that's why you were seeing the double bumps.
Yeah, that is kind of strange. I don't know if it's something in Asterisk. Is it hanging up a phone call and hanging up a node or something like that? But
yeah, it's kind of strange that it does it twice. But it's not too big of a deal. Someone asterisk is causing that, I guess.
Yeah, I can live with
it. Got rid of your fix for the other was more important because I was getting these, you know, big. Sometimes I'd see a disconnect and it would say like five things disconnected. I'm like, no. So I don't even know what these other five things are. And then I started looking. I went, oh, I see. It found the string in other places. Okay. So that was a good fix. All right. I got to get to work. W8FU.
Yeah, another weird thing is I didn't find anything. It's pretty much a garbage. So I'm supposed to throw an error. Anyway, how are you doing?
Connected to CMN Network.
KE8WOJ. KCHKJL. Good morning time, KEWOK.
Morning, Ricky. How's it going?
Good, sir. How you doing?
Oh, just starting the day. I'm going to be local today. Tomorrow is Saginaw and Grand Rapids, so get the stuff done today around here.
Well, that's good. That's something I was just thinking, boy, it's a good thing and it's a bad thing, but you get to get around and see the sights and get to know Michigan pretty intimately, I would say.
I guess you can say that. Interesting places. Well, the city of Saginaw I've done quite a few times.
Well,
Well, I don't think I've been to, ever been to Saginaw. I've been past it on the freeway, but never been to Saginaw. Is it a decent place?
In the decent areas, yes. You know, but I'm usually when I'm there, I'm downtown at the water plant, the wastewater plant, or DPW, you know, all the other buildings that we have.
Okay, got you, because I had read that there's just a whole lot of crime there, so I wasn't sure. I hadn't been there myself, so I don't know.
If you're right down by all the city buildings and stuff, it's pretty decent. But outside of that, I could walk down downtown Detroit and feel more safe than walking in Saginaw.
All right, that's kind of the way I heard it, too. So did you get your car fixed yet, or is that going to take a while?
Oh, no, he couldn't do it yesterday. He was doing other stuff. He's going to try to get to it today, but he's got to do his porch first. You know, I don't drive it all that often, so it's not too big a deal. I told him, I said, if he started today, I said, if it takes y'all a week, I said, I don't care. You know, but the rotors won't be in until, just before noon today.
Oh, okay. It's kind of nice when you haven't work done, but it's on a vehicle that you really don't need or use very much. And, since you got a neighbor, a friend kind of thing giving you a break, and it's nice you can have extra time to get it done.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Oh, absolutely. You know, he doesn't. You know, I told him, you know, he charges less for labor. You know, if it takes him a couple hours, then, you know, he sent him a couple $100. I said, I'm in no rush to get it back. So I got the brakes and the rotors, brought them over to his house, and then I was looking. I'm like, these are the wrong ones. So I had to take those back. I had to take the rotors and pads back and got the right pads. And then I got the other set of rotors. And then I get home. Well, they're pre-ordered. Then I get home, I'm like, son of a beans. So they're the wrong rotors. So I took the car up with me this time and drove up there and had the girl look. I go, no, I need these ones. And she goes, yep, you need those ones. So, got those ones ordered, got $60 back, and now I just go wait for them to come in. You know, they're not cheap rotors, and they're forged iron.
Well, it's always good getting money back, ain't it? Boy, what a pain to get the right ones there. So, did you do anything fun over the weekend?
Trying to remember what we did Saturday. Oh, I cut the grass Saturday. I mean, how fun is that? Yay. So that, and then it was just my wife and I, so we made spaghetti for dinner because my daughter does not like spaghetti. So I do. I love spaghetti. Did that, and then yesterday got up early and we went to the Armada Flea Market and I picked up this, they call a trail cam. You know, it's Wi-Fi, 4G, LTE kind of thing. Got that for $30, and I picked up this big-ass juicer for $20. And then some fresh bagels and homemade strawberry rhubarb bread.
Oh, it sounds good. So the trail cam, I was always wondering, the ones that have cellular on it. I was just curious if they got their own special account, or you can add it to your own phone. PEAWOJ.
It says I can have a, you know, I think it's almost like a POC radio where it uses the cell network, but it's just data.
kind of thing, so it's not as expensive as a, you know, cell. But, gosh, darn, I keep bouncing. But, it, I mean, it looks like, you know, one of those Wi-Fi cameras, you know, it's got PTZ on it, two antennas, a solar panel. And but I could do cellular if I wanted. And cloud storage, I'm like, whatever. I just put a chip in it and let it be. And so, I mean, it's got a real clear picture. Like I said, it says it's a trail cam, but it could not be. I mean, for $30, it's not one of those big fancy ones. KC8KGO Friday.
KE8WOJ. Yeah, still, that's, that seemed to me a good price for what you're getting there. another fellow I used to talk to when on a morning drive-in kind of thing, he's got a cabin up north, and he's got a bunch of the cellular trail cams up there, and they, you know, if something goes on or somebody shows up there or whatever kind of thing, it almost instantly sends it pictures of it to him on his phone kind of thing, and he knows about it right away.
Yeah, that's what this one does, and message me and says there's activity in your backyard or at the back door. I mean, I basically got it to cover the backyard, and, you know, I can see the side of the house. I can see the camper, you know, so if anything is back there, I, you know, I know about it. Check the dogs, check the snow in the winter. I mounted it about 8 feet up. I mounted it on the peak of my my tool shed that's back there. I got this. It used to be an old pool house, pool changing house, and we use it for all the garden equipment. We call it the she shed. And I climbed up there, mounted up top, put the solar panel up, put a 16 gig memory card in it. It does its job. You know, I got the Ring doorbell in the front, and I got the bird feeder with the camera. So, got the other side of the yard covered, even though that camera's kind of crappy. You know, because it's supposed to be, what is it, near, because I want to see birds. You know, I don't want to see the dogs running across the backyard. I want to see birds. But it does its job, too.
Yeah, we got a couple of those Ring cameras, and those are pretty nice. They're, I don't like, it seemed to me there was a place for an SD card, but I don't know why, because they store it on a server. And the Ring, whatever kind of thing, but it's a $10 a month account kind of thing, you know. But you can download, you can look through the pictures anytime. And no matter where you are, Wi-Fi, you can. I can sit up north at my buddy's house and see what's going on in the backyard at any time. So it's kind of neat.
Oh yeah, I got a Ring doorbell too, but I don't have. Playing with it. It's more or less there that if I get a package dropped off, it stings me. It says someone at your front door, and I go live and go, oh, there's a package on my porch. And, or if somebody, you know, if I'm in the backyard, if someone comes up to the front door and they ring the doorbell, you know, I know that somebody's there. The Memphis police actually used it last month when he was dropping off my city packet, rang the doorbell, I'm like, oh, somebody's there, and I look and it was Bruce, so I was next door, ran over to the house, got my package.
Yeah, the cameras we got, they're not expensive ones or whatever, but they've got a speaker and a microphone, so at any time you can turn on the mic and go, hey, what are you doing in the yard, or, you know, kind of thing, or just talk, I can sit there and talk to the family, whether it's kind of nice actually.
Oh yeah, same with the bird feeder. Bird feeder has a mic on it, has a speaker. You know, so if there's a squirrel up on my bird feeder, I could say, hey, get out of there. You know, but you know, it's just that doesn't bother me. And then yeah, the quote unquote trail cam up there, that's got a speaker on it too. So I like messing with the dogs. And yeah, the Ring doorbell. I have it so if somebody doesn't answer it after 10 seconds, says, somebody will be with you shortly, or if you care to leave a message, do so, you know. I said, it's just, And plus it covers my car and my work van, so I know somebody's messing around in that area.
Cool, yeah. I'm the same way. I like messing with the family. I'll be up north or something, and they really don't know or think about the mic and speaker on there kind of thing, and I'll see them sitting there, and I'll turn on the mic and go, hey, what are you guys doing? They all jump.
And my coworker, he has a place up in Munising, and he's got a full-blown camera system up there. You know, he's got the domes, outside domes that watches property. He's got one across that watches the roof, you know, watches the front of the house or the roof line and stuff. And he's got a network recorder, and he's got internet up there, so he can log in anytime, check it all out. You know, so makes it easy. And he showed me it as we're watching one time. There was a bear that came across, smelled the garbage cans, said, whatever, and then left. It was funny.
Oh, that's cool. Munising's a nice place. I like that little place. I've been there just a couple times. But I was there once in the winter, and oh, my God, it was fun. Banks of snow 10 feet high. Some of my houses were buried.
Oh, yeah, that last big snow they had up there. He's lucky he had the camera because he looked and the snow was so high that it was almost to the top of his little shed that he had out there, his little trash shed. You know, which means that the top of the cottage was covered and buried. He goes, dead. He could barely walk through it, so luckily it melted and no damage. But he's probably going to go up there over the next couple weeks. He's supposed to go up this past weekend, or the weekend before, but that didn't happen. So he's going to hopefully get up there within the next couple weeks. His brother, I think, went up there and checked everything out and opened it up for the season.
Cool. When I was up there, I saw these houses buried. I mean, literally buried. The only way you could tell was the house there was the chimney sticking up, and they had spent a whole lot of hours digging out the front door and in the garage door, but the driveways were still buried. But it was interesting. I got thinking. I thought, geez, I bet they stayed kind of warm with that big, thick snow insulation over the house.
Oh, yeah, I mean, his was buried. And, but I said, luckily, no damage. You know, we just picked up another account where we have an account in Marquette. So, the T and I are familiar with these courthouses from the past. Wisconsin doesn't want to do the one up in the UP, so we're kind of being somewhat volunteered, you know, involuntarily elected to go service the account. And my coworker says, hey, we got to go up there. I got a place. You don't have to worry about lodging. So we'll just stay at my cabin and then go do the job and then come back. Boston's like, yeah, that works for me. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, Marquette's a nice place, too. They got a outside of town a few miles, I think, north. You can park there, and they got a trail going up on top of this great big hill. And, man, you can see forever. You see the old docks and stuff in Marquette there. It's a nice place. 2010, I went up to Big Bay with a buddy deer hunting there. It's about a little 20-minute, I guess, or half-hour drive north of Marquette there. Pretty nice. It's kind of wild in there.
Yeah, it's nothing concrete as of yet. I mean, we just picked up the contract again after 4 years, 5 years, and we'll see how it goes. It's still in the planning stages, but we got to get re-vetted to be up there. You know, so that's going to take some time. And I'm about to hit my destination here, the first run of the day here at Madison Heights. So I will chat at you later. 73 on your final. KZ8JJO.
Okay, Tom, have a good safe day, and we'll catch you later. KEHWOJ.
Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
It's always nice to know when my meaningful conversation with filling up the airwaves across the entire state of Michigan. It's always great to have the warning. 88 jail.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
Repeater check. 1, 2, 3. Repeater check. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
What's your call sign? I suspect you don't have one because nobody does repeater checks and Roger beeps. So call sign or go away. That's what I thought. Roger beeps are for kids.
Ah, nice catch, Sean. That was funny. KZ8.
Yeah, Dave, these GMRS or CBers, they come up here with their little Bofang Roger beep radios doing repeater checks. I'm like, oh, my God, go away. You know what makes them think they have the right? Idiots.
I'm just glad there was a repeater check. Good thing we know the repeater's still there. Sheesh. It was doing you a service. Okay, I'll just leave that alone. Anyway, I heard you thought I'd say hi because I haven't talked with you in a while. Hope things are well. Okay, see you soon. KZAP.
No, going real well. But I just sat down to my Bucharest. Got a chicken shawarma salad plus feta.
from Bucharest, one of my absolute go-to favorites. I don't know if you've been to Bucharest, but they got that one opened up right here by me. Not terribly far for you. At least you don't have to go S, or you have to go down into the D. All right, anyhow, I'm going to get to it. Because something about fattoush salad by dressing wilts the lettuce fast. All right, back to it. W had a few.
Good afternoon, Sean, KAWOJ. Good to hear you there, bud. You don't have to reply. I don't want to interrupt your lunch there. It sounded pretty good, but just wanted to jump in and say howdy. Catch you later, KAWOJ.
Yeah, Rick, I'm actually over on P25 and trying to eat my lunch, so I'm two-fisted radio and trying to eat. Catch you in a bit. I'll be at a few.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
NADDF. What, they kick you out? Nope, I showed myself a door. I went in there because they said they needed X, Y, and Z, and it never happened. So I'm like, okay, well, not hanging out all day. See ya.
What, they just want you to come in to waste your time and get your computer from you or something?
That's what it seems like. So I was like, okay, well, you guys aren't going to let me work 2 weeks. You're not going to let me give you 2 weeks. I'm just going to leave then. See ya.
Yep, well, at least it's over, right?
Yes, sir, on the next thing. What are you doing?
I am out to lunch, but I'm actually walking into the gun shop right now. I should be back out in a few minutes. I'm not buying anything cool, just stopping in there. So I'll call back out when I get out of there and see if you're still in the car.
All right, man, sounds good. I got about 20 minutes left, so I'll catch you. NADDF.
K-E-8-R-U-H.
Is that your gun shop? Oh, you got me all excited.
You sure did. I'll be back out in a few minutes.
How you doing, Dakota? K-E-8-W-O-J. I haven't caught up with you in a while.
Good afternoon. And, yeah, I took last week off and didn't really do much. Didn't really leave the house much either, so not a whole lot of radio to be had.
Yeah, I was wondering where you disappeared to, but I did too, actually. I started physical therapy, and it turns out it's right during the time when you guys are driving to work, so I don't get to catch up with you. So, I got that 308 barrel with a scope mounted on there, ready to get sighted in, and I ordered a 243. I got that from a custom barrel maker kind of thing, and I got that. Now I'm just waiting for some rings.
Oh, so you ended up with both, huh?
Yeah, I was bouncing around between the 243 and the 708. I kind of wanted a backup for my deer rifle kind of thing, and I was heavily leaning that way, and then I thought, you know that Sako 243 of mine, the barrel shot out, and I got all the stuff to hold for 243, so why don't I get another barrel? So that's what I did. I get anxious to get the rings and a scope mounted and get out there and sight them both in.
Yeah, that's still what I'm leaning towards is a 243. I haven't done much poking around or shopping or really even talked about it with my buddy yet, but turning out a little bit of time.
Well, that's a good one. I found the best thing with a 10-twist. Most 243s come with a 10-twist. And I found the best accuracy with 100-grain bullets, Sierra Game Kings, actually. And the 95s were pretty decent, 90s were pretty okay. But as I started getting down to the varmint weights, you know, 70 grain and that below, I couldn't get the really good accuracy out of it.
Yeah, that's what I end up going with. I got to figure out what round I want to shoot. I don't like shooting different rounds for different things. I want that gun to shoot this, and it loves it. So I probably find a happy. I mean, I guess anything 70 to 100 is still fine for shooting long range varmint.
Yeah, you know, you got me going in the 6.5 Creedmoor. But I got to look into that and see what the deal is and why it's the new thing kind of stuff. And it's a nice round, but, you know, I was checking out a lot of these guys, so-called experts on YouTube there, and they were making all these comparisons. And it turns out that almost anything that's China, you can hunt deer with kind of thing, all the numbers were pretty doggone close. It was hardly worth, you know what I mean? It was hardly worth straining about which one to get kind of thing, you know what I mean? They were all coming in pretty close kind of thing. So, and but anyway, the 6.5 Creedmoor there, you can get down to 90s. I don't know if you can get any less than that. But, so anyway. I hope all my rambling don't confuse you any or piss you off. I don't mean to do that.
No, not at all. At this point, I basically look at white-tailed deer like they are varmint. It doesn't really matter what you shoot them with. You just got to hit them in the right spot. Like I've always said, that's the key ingredient to success. It doesn't matter if you're shooting a cannon and you miss. So the only reason I'm not going to shoot, I think the way it's written, I could use my 223, but like I said, that's shooting 55 grain Varmint Express. I really don't want to switch that up, nor do I want to put that at a deer unless I'm shooting it in the ear. So 243 will definitely have probably, I don't know. I'm thinking somewhere between the 90 and 100. I don't really want to go any lighter than that.
Oh, there you go. If you're gonna do 243 and a 10 twist, 90 and 100 is perfect. You know, they got a little bit heavier than 105s, 107s kind of thing, but those are mostly match bullets.
My whole philosophy is it's still gonna drop less than a 350.
Yeah, that's for sure. geez. Heck, you guys had me going, and with the DNR changing, you know, the requirements for Zone 3 here, I was halfway looking at a new rifle, too, and I thought, oh, what the heck's the sense? I can't go, and I got two of them sitting here already, so I calmed down with that.
I'm still on the fence about just rebarreling my 22-250 that I got. It's a 700 ADL and a Magpul chassis. Can't remember if I have. I did put a base on it, like a 10 MOA base on it too. So I think it's ready to go. I just A, I could shoot 22-250s and get some heavier rounds, or B, I could just rebarrel the thing, which makes more sense because that barrel is pretty old and it's 26-inch pole, so it's super heavy. But that might be the move, is just rebarrel that thing and put a piece of glass on it, and then I've got myself a nice setup, because I want to say those mags that I have too will also feed a 243. Yeah, it will feed a 243.
Well, now you really piqued my curiosity there. You know a gunsmith that does rebarreling? Because I was considering, before I bought the 243 barrel for the Encore, I was considering rebarreling the Sako, but I couldn't find any gunsmiths that work on Sakos.
Off the top of my head, no, but I know a buddy that knows the guy, so he's the same one that's got a bunch of custom rifles, so I might be able to persuade him into sending that gun out for me.
Oh, I got you. Yeah, that Safe Taco Varmint, it's a really nice rifle, and it just seems a shame it's sitting there in the safe for all these years. You would like to get something there, but I don't know. I just keep looking. I should just end up going to one of the bench rest matches and talking to the folks there. They could probably turn me on to half a dozen of them.
problem with all those bench press guns is they don't get any cheaper when you start looking at them.
Yeah, you're right there. I just walked around. When I used to go to the matches here, I used to walk around and look at that stuff and just think to myself, man, oh, man, I will never make enough money to enter into bench rest and do any kind of competing. But they do have a factory class.
When I was looking at getting into NRL 22, that's what I looked at, and I originally ordered the rifle because I think it's like the rifle, factory rifle, has to be less than $600, and there's only so many modifications you can do to it. So I ended up ordering Season 455 or 457 Pro Varmint 22LR, and I was well within all the requirements, and I was factory class or whatever, and then I can't leave anything alone, and I started messing with it, and then it quickly became open class to where the gun shoots really well. I don't think it'd be an issue, but then you're in a class shooting against Volkortsons. You're shooting against, what the hell's that other one? Not Volkortsons. What's the ridiculous one?
Vergara, maybe?
No, not Vergara. Oh my god, it's going to drive me nuts now. Some foreign manufacturer. It's right on the tip of my tongue.
Volkortson.
Volkortson's one of them, but there's another one.
An Annie. Ann shoots.
Not Blazer.
No, it's Ann shoots or Annie's.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what you come up with there. You really got my curiosity going.
As you can see, it's been a while since I researched these things, but it's Anschutz, Voodoo, Volkortson, and CZ is actually up in there. They just shoot. But those Annies are supposed to be, like, unbelievable, and for the Volkortson.
I don't know why, but I've been really wanting a 22 mag rifle for a long time. And again, I don't know why. I guess for anything but deer, you know, small stuff at fairly close range.
I don't know if that was Sean in there or not. So here's my take on 22 mags. I had one. I bought a CZ-457. American suppressor ready, so it was a midweight barrel, threaded, synthetic stock. I was shooting 30 grain V-Max, and I shot a groundhog in the head at 75 yards, and when I walked up to it, it was still alive. And I sold the gun that day.
Well, I knew those groundhogs had hard heads, but I didn't think they were that hard. So what did you get? That's why you went to the 17?
I've been shooting a 17 HMR for, God, probably going on 12 years now. I mean, that is my go-to for anything small. Anything inside of 150 and anything smaller than a Coyote. I mean, a Coyote, obviously, that's not my first choice, but it'll do it. I grabbed that gun and it does the thing it's supposed to do.
Well, that's cool, but I probably will never end up getting one. I you know, I'm spoiled with the loading. I can't load rim player, so probably T23 is going to be the smallest I ever get.
See, now it's bothering me. Criterion?
It's a barrel, isn't it?
Oh, wasn't that what you were talking about? Match grade barrels that you were going up against?
Well, yeah, okay, so fair enough. Yeah, then there's the custom builds. But I was talking about, so NRL 22 has open class, and they have, I think it's factory. I think there might be one more. But the factory class is basically a stock rifle under this much money with a piece of glass and some accessories. And then open class is what I was talking about, to where people show up with $3,000 to $5,000 rimfires. And that's where you've got the the Anschutz, the Voodoos, the Volkortsons, the Suzy's, and then, you know, all the custom crap.
Oh, okay. I thought you were looking for a specific match grade barrel manufacturer, but you're talking about a class which would have included that and more.
Yeah, something I never got around to, sadly, because the shoots are never closed. Actually, there's some in Lapeer, so I could probably participate now, but I don't know if I really care to. And, Rick, you are not a 17 HMR kind of guy. You can't reload it. The ammo's not cheap. It burns your barrels, and it hates the wind. So, you know, if you want to dispatch something inside 150, that's your ticket. But if you want to play with it, that's not the gun.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And good afternoon, Sean. You know, I left for lunch too, and I never got around to getting lunch. Couldn't figure out what I wanted to make.
Connected to CMN Network.
Yeah, I had to run out with the Bucharest Grill, like I was saying. An old favorite of mine they got this chicken shawarma salad, which is, it's like mostly meat. It's the kind of style that a meat eater likes. It's as a matter of fact, you get toward the end of it and you still got a pile of meat and your lettuce is like, where's the lettuce? Is this actually a salad? It's the kind of salad that a man eats.
I just met my parents for lunch and there was a big tall beer involved and now I'm tired and want to take a nap. But on that note, I just pulled in. I'm going to jump out here. I'll probably be back on in a little bit. Rick, we'll always, you know, we'll keep this conversation going. And, Sean, I'm sure I'll catch you later. At ADVF.
Okay, young man, have a good one there. We'll catch you later. KEWOJ. Sean, go ahead.
Oh. I shouldn't be doing that. I'm done with lunch now. I should get back to work.
Yeah, and I got to get something myself. I got to make something, figure out what I want. My stomach's chewing at my backbone again. Well, it's good to hear you. I'll catch you later. KEWOJ.
All right, Rick, we will catch you later. I'm going to get back to it here. W8FU.
N8WRO. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, did you send me a message about the possible meeting on Wednesday at 10 a.m.?
Yes, sir. Totally optional on your part, but Dave wanted to know that you're invited. I didn't know your availability.
I'm working until around 10:30. I could probably make it up there by 11 if that's not going to be too late.
No, sir, not necessary. In that case, Mike and I have it covered. So Dave just wanted you to have the option in case you weren't. But disregard then. I'll let him know. Appreciate it. N8WRO.
W8VOX. Thanks.
KE8RUH. Ant me.
What's going on, KE8RUH?
Not much. What's going on with you?
You know. Just another leisurely day. My wife and I went out to Coney Island for lunch. We went fancy. Now we're just took a drive. It's gorgeous outside. I was thinking of maybe doing a poda, but it's a little late in the afternoon already. But I'll tell you what, this weather is fantastic. How was the gun shop?
Oh, it was good. I just had to drop something off to him. I had ordered a part from like a independent maker, somebody that was making something, and they wanted one too, so I ordered two of them.
very good. I wonder if there's a FFL person in our friendly group in Dakota. I'd be surprised if he's not.
He is not. You know, I think a lot of times it's, it can be more trouble than it's worth in the bookkeeping and all of that stuff that you have to do.
That is correct. I used to, I carried one for years, and then things started to get tighter and tighter, and they started to get more. They wanted actual space set aside if they, and they all inspect, and business hours and hours you're open, and it just got to be, you know, really, they wanted to get the basement dealer, you know, that was out of the business, basically, is my interpretation. And so I gave it up quite a number of years ago.
Yeah, I didn't even think about the paperwork side of that. It's been a nightmare. It's never getting better. It's only getting worse. Although now, I was thinking with professors, I'm sure paperwork is getting worse. Governmental paperwork.
Yeah, they have to have, like, lifetime retention of the paperwork. And actually, the paperwork for suppressors has, I don't want to say it's changed, but it's gotten more convenient. It's all electronic forms and things of that sort. So it's faster, but it's still laborious.
Well, and they also dropped the fee, I think, for suppressors. I don't know for everything, class 3, but they dropped the fee. So I've got one I purchased, you know, on a stamp with a $250 charge. You know, they're already expensive, and add to it that. But I think you still got to go through it. But you, like you said, they've used it up a little bit. But you got to have a storefront with business hours, or if you're going to do it out of your house, you got to make a spot available that you can have people come in. And I understand they were, at least for a while, they were checking. They were coming in because when they shut it down, they were trying to get rid of the, you know, the person that wasn't really doing it as a business. So anyhow, not that it's not hard to do, but if you're going to do it, it's just a commitment now, and it's not easy for the average, you know, guy to just do that as a side gig. In the past, we used to do it just so that, you know, I could, you know, bring in a purchase for you from, you know, you make an internet purchase and you can have it delivered to me, and for, you know, for a small fee, I could, you know, I could transfer it for you. So there was a guy I used to deal with in Macomb that was still doing it, and I used to go through him. And now I just go to right here, Harder's Auto Parts, right up here, that he does them for a pretty reasonable price. I just use him if I have to. But all right, I got to get back to work. You guys keep bringing up these subjects I really like. W8FU.
Hey, I'm ordering some food. I'll be right back.
Okay, and I'm getting back to home territory, so I'm going to get really scratchy. I'll talk to you guys. KE8.
Talk to you later, KE8RUH.
LAX, mobile and monitoring.
You're connected to CMN Network.
KEAWOJ.
This is 8 Delta 8 Denmark 8 Denmark X-ray KD8DX Saginaw. Listening. BMW to be affordable.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
W-A-R-I-T.
Strangers in the night.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
I'd rather be voltagely connected.
What's going on, Sean?
Just hitting the road. What the hell is this, man? I got a gravel train of 1, 2, 3. There's about 6 or 8. Oh, I see. Big construction job hidden between a couple of buildings here on Grosbeck. Bunch of gravel haulers. For some sort of haulers. They're all lined up to get in. Construction is back in between two buildings. Just on my way home. What you up to?
Likewise, just on my way home. K8RUH.
Yep, get home and maybe have myself a tall, long neck Miller. Or maybe I'll have a stick, because sticks are unbelievable.
Yep, I'm going to see what I can do to figure out how to spend my afternoon outside. I don't know. It shouldn't be that hard.
I think I'll go golfing. W-A-B-P-D. Are you down here or up there?
I just got off 696 down here from up there.
Well, I'm on my way over there.
Well, I'm right here, but I'm heading over there. Anyhow, I got plenty of stuff I could be doing outside as well. Question is, will I? Say, I have shorts, flip-flops, comfy chairs, beer. There really is nothing preventing me from outside.
Yeah, at this time of year, I really don't wear shoes. I'm done with them. I wear them for about 8 hours a day, and then it's all flip-flops.
So, Brian, big question. When you're out of town, who the hell digs the graves?
Well, usually they don't have any, but it would be my daughter and my brother-in-law.
Hi, Sean.
Oh, no, I was just wondering. How often do they have a burial there? I got to think that's got to be old cemetery. Not a whole lot of plots left.
There's a decent amount that have already been bought that haven't been occupied yet, and then there are still some available. So sometimes we can go a couple of weeks, other times we do a couple of weeks.
Which one is that?
St. Clement Cemetery, 10 Mile Van Dyke area.
Okay, interesting.
Yep, the right place for me would be, there's a little cemetery on Chicago Road between Ryan and DeQuinter. That'd be the right place for us, but that thing's been filled up since probably the early 1900s. So there's no getting in there.
there's a cemetery off Martin Road in Gratiot that belongs to Sacred Heart, but I heard they're going to rename it Sheets Cemetery.
No, it's still maintained by the Archdiocese of Detroit, so that's still going to be Sacred Heart.
All right, gentlemen, I'm getting close to home here, so I'm going to cut out. This is KE8RUH. Everybody enjoy this fantastic weather, and we'll talk to you folks tomorrow. KE8RUH.
All right, Anthony, talk to you in the morning. Ah, man. Cat's been getting me up earlier, so might be on more in keeping with your schedule. As long as the cat keeps waking my butt up. He doesn't like me sleeping past 6. That's usually when I first start waking up and hitting the snooze. He'll have none of it. I should look in the Detroit Memorial Park Cemetery at 1213 Orion. That would be the smartest place for me to go.
Oh, I told my wife to just, cremate and scatter my ashes. She goes, Catholics can't do that. So I said, well, just as cheaply, you can send me up to Holly, and I can go into the cemetery there. And she goes, I already got a plot. You're going to stick right down here. So you can't come in.
Oh, I'm going for the ashes to ashes, baby. Put me in the oven. And then I don't want to pull a whatever. I want to give kids some direction because my dad didn't give me directions on his ashes, and it's been a little bit of a thing. Mostly my fault, but still. Huh. There's a little place that used to be one of those checkers or something like that. Now it's got a sign on that says Midway. Right here at Utica and Grosbeck. What's Midway?
All right, well, I'm unloading the truck. I'm at home now, so I will catch you all later. WAPC, I'll be playing.
All righty. And I'm going to scope out the Midway. It's a new place at Utica and Grosbeck. All right, later. W8FU. All righty. Took a picture of Midway's menu. Can look at it when I get home.
WARCY. I thought Trey's would be opening it today, first of the month. Beautiful day. Should be open by now. Checked it this morning. Nothing. Checked it again at noon. Nothing. I just took a glance now. Still nothing reporting on their website. So who knows when they're going to open. I mean, they might do a soft opening or something before they announce the grand opening, but I haven't been out that way since before I went to do the Grand Prix this weekend. So don't know what's going on that way.
I would imagine they'd probably put on their sign, you know, opening, blah, blah, blah. And the sign's still completely blank. And I check it every morning on the way to work, and it's just nothing there. I look for any kind of change or anything like that. They got all the landscapings in. It looks like the facade's completely done. Best I can tell, looking at it, it looks like they are ready to go. So as far as structurally and landscaping and all that stuff, so you got to be close. I would imagine that sign's probably going to say, probably going to tell us when the grand opening is, as fast as anything. So if I see something, I'll definitely pipe up. But big blank sign when I went by there this morning.
Well, I appreciate you looking at that as you go by every morning. With the holiday and everything like that, last week or so, I've just not been up to date on it like I normally would. And like I say, I do look at the website every couple of days or so. And I just happened to look this morning while you guys were all going in, and
nothing. And it's just nothing even posted about it. It's like it's, you put the website up, and now it's just a continuous drum roll going, and you're waiting for the ching with the symbol, and, hey, we're opening up June 1st, or, you know, I was thinking maybe that would be the perfect day to do it, but, so, I don't know. It's just, I guess, anticipation and, you know, the old Carly Simon song, Anticipation. You're just waiting, waiting, waiting. W-A-R-C-Y.
That's right. Anticipation is making me wait. It's keeping me waiting, or something like that. But I'll run by there on my way home, and I might even pull into the lot if there's somebody there. And I'll say, what's going on? But it's right now, it's, I guess, it's, you know, we could have a, we could do the bet. Who's going to open first, Sheetz or Crave?
Well, at the rate they pop a Sheetz up there, I could probably put my money on Sheetz. But, you know, who knows? They may open both on the same day. Really cause a traffic jam. I think when you're in 12-mile up to 13-mile road there, they'll be lining up in the right-hand lane like they're trying to get into Starbucks. I remember when Starbucks opened down at 23-mile between Gratiot and 94, out by my girlfriend's place. Traffic was so bad, I don't remember if it was Chesterfield or the Sheriff's Department or something, but they ended up having to have the authorities guide people and then get them out of there. And then they eventually actually put in a merge lane to pull off for 23 and get into the Starbucks there.
Yeah, my experience, Starbucks does not give one hoot about, they'll put a Starbucks on any chunk of land. Some of them have the absolute worst parking lots I've ever seen, and they need to get somebody working for them that's in the planning, new store planning, that's a little bit more conscientious of the limitations that some of the parcels they get present. But the one at 59 and 94 is not horrible, but it's not great. The one at Cass and Grosbeck's terrible, just absolutely horrible. That one that used to be at where was it? There was one for a little while at Utica and Grosbeck. That thing was terrible. And then 12 mile and the Gratiot's not the best, although it's manageable. It's just, some of them are just really, really bad.
When I was working in my cell phone store out there by Red Coat Tavern on Woodward, that was back in the mid-2000s. Starbucks was just starting to grow, and you had Caribou Coffee, and you had a couple other, these new coffee houses going up, Big B and everything else. And it was funny because they would put them on the northbound side of Woodward except for Caribou, and they were all, well, Starbucks were on the opposite side, so Woodward being a main artery of traffic, you'd think you'd put it on that side, but no, they put it on the other side. You're watching all these people in the turnaround to go around and have to do the turnaround to go back and go southbound. It's been years since I was out that way. It was right by the hospital, too, and I've been to the hospital a few times with seeing Mike and his wife and their little girl. But, I don't even think that Starbucks is there anymore. I think they finally moved it to that complex there on the corner of 13 and Woodward where Wahlburgers is, I think it is, and a grocery store. They reconfigured that whole area there, and I think they finally moved it to the proper side.
Yeah, that was bounced around a little bit. That used to be the 24-hour one. That used to be one you could go to any time. That was nice. There were a couple that were 24-hour. That one was one of them.
I guess for the hospital right there made sense. But I haven't been, I don't think I've been to the new location since they've moved it. So I think that's been in like three different locations. And I think the place that they were originally in is back to a coffee shop, just it's a little independent or something. Ah, well, whatever. So, what else was I getting? A point I was going to make here. Well, whatever, not important.
Unusually heavy traffic on your route home. W8.
Oh, where are you?
Leaving the airport, Metro, and I'm heading home. So today was airport day, Delta Garage. All done. Went well. Done.
Good afternoon, sir. I take it, didn't you mention this morning something about golfing?
That's tomorrow.
Sean, go ahead.
You can't shoot the golfers.
You can't, but I did say something today that made me kind of cry, Sean. They're changing all their ground crew radios to something else. I didn't see what they were, but they had three 55-gallon drums full of Motorola XTR UHF radios. And I thought, oh, my gosh, and they were just going to toss them. Sean?
Did you step in and have them untoss them?
I was afraid to ask any questions after the security check I went through. It took us 15 minutes to get into the place. They're pretty protective of that because, you know, we were right there by the terminal where they parked the jets. These are the guys that work on the luggage tugs and the big tugs and the plane tugs and everything else like that. So security was pretty high, so I figured, you know, these things are loaded with frequencies that they used to use and everything else like that. I kept my mouth shut, but I did have a moment of thinking about bringing it up.
Connected to CMN Network.
Well, I mean,
I lost my voice.
If you got any good authority
when I heard that,
for him, I'd definitely reach out. Oh, well.
I know that, and I was there with the rep from the company as well. Don, go ahead. WABD.
I said I lost my voice when I heard Wally say they were going to toss him. I was screaming so loud. That was the rough voice that might have doubled in there. That was me. Oh, my gosh. I figured they were all mobiles, or were there some HTs in there?
They was all mobiles. They were all the ones that were in their tugs. A lot of them were in pretty good shape. Some were abused, but most of them were in pretty decent shape. And then they had some, I looked in, I saw some sort of radio in the newer ones, but I didn't recognize what it was. It was something I had never seen before. So I'm sure it has to do with security and stuff. But whatever. It is what it is. So now I get to fight traffic. Hour and a half drive home is what it says. Sean, did you have a good day? Also, I think you were in on an email. I have to reach out to Paul for help on that other project.
Yeah, you and Paul have been blowing up my phone all day back and forth. I did catch some of that. And no, as far as good work day, just trying to get prepped for a big dog and pony show on Wednesday. And I keep working on a presentation I got, so I've got some work done on that. A couple other odds and ends done, so all in all, not a bad day. Plus, it was another day of we were one guy short, so everybody was really happy today.
I was going to ask if tomorrow would be a happy day as well, but I won't be around. Tomorrow will be a no-be. Wednesday, things calm down, then I can go back to being my normal height from everything self. But this day and tomorrow, I can't really hide from anything. Donald, no HTs.
I got cardio tomorrow, cardiologist tomorrow, second visit with the new doctor over here at Henry Ford, because I left the Beaumont Corwell Health people a couple months back. So I'm just going to walk over to Henry Ford here instead of going down to 12 Mile and John R., or even across the street, because that's what I was doing with the urgent care center. They were able to handle my checkup there, but I'm pretty much done with Corwell. And I've been happy with Henry Ford, with as much as they've done for me in the last year. So, yep, I'll see him tomorrow, first Tuesday of the month.
Wow, Speedway, 10 mile is now, $3.99 a gallon. That's better than the $4.46 I was seeing up north. You know what else that's better than? A sharp stick in the eye. I did hopefully think that they were building a Sheetz up there, but unfortunately I was wrong. It's not. Oh well.
I'm back. My repeater phone dumped me. I seen two Sheetz. One on Lake Orion, right around where the palace used to be, up there, Silver Bell Road. And another one there by your office, Sean, North Avenue and Hall Road. Two new ones on the way. Donald?
You guys forgot 22 Mile and Van Dyke, which every time I go by there, they're making really good progress. At this rate, it should be opening any day now. WAEAP.
Brian, you were mentioning Cannon Mound. With all the open property there on what was the northeast corner of 9 Mile and Mound, the old GM power plant or power train complex there. I don't know what they're building there, but there's a big enough space there that you can put a super Sheetz in that area, in that location. I think we totally lost the rotation, so whoever wants to take it next.
They could. Originally, they were supposed to put three of them super warehouses in there, and they've put two so far. Who knows? But the one at 12 and Mound is doing a pretty good job at 10 and Mound gas prices, though.
Yeah, but gas prices are going to go up again because they threatened us to close the straits. They told us, don't mess with them, or they're going to blow us up. Who knows? Enough of that. But Sheetz is popping up all over. I want to see, you can't predict the future, will the Sheetz put Speedway out of business. Eric, welcome.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I just wanted to throw that in there. But they're building the one on 22 Mile amazingly fast. Like, I go by there every 2 days for physical therapy, and it's like ungodly amount of progress. They did all that in 2 days. It's like, at this rate, it'll be open. I'm thinking it'll be open in a week or two. I mean, it must be working long hours on that, but, yep. And the price of gas up at 22 in Van Dyke is $3.79 right now. That's the price of gas in Utica, $3.79, by the way.
Well, they all go up fast. So the one over here at 12 and DeQuinter, the same way, every time you go by, it's like, holy moly, they're screaming. And same with the one at 23 in Gratiot, not North, Gratiot. And that one's going up really fast, too. That's why they inundate an area. They come in and they have multiple locations so they can just keep the crews busting ass. Hey, well, anyhow, I'm backing in the driveway here. I'm going to make this my last and catch everybody when I get inside and get comfy. W8FU.
Okay, Sean, have a good afternoon. Wally brings up a valid point about trying to put Speedway out of business. The one at 23 and 94, by my girlfriend's place is right across the street from a Speedway that's been well established there, and that was her go-to. Another one is at 9 Mile and I-94 off the northwest portion of the freeway overpass there at 9 Mile and 94, and the Speedway's on the northwest corner. But behind it, there used to be an Office Depot with a street in between there called Beaconsfield. Beaconsfield's the borderline street between East Point and St. Clair Shores, technically. And they demolished a Office Depot and built it right across the side street from Speedway. And it, from what I'm hearing, for those who live in the area, that when it went up, I asked, and he says, oh, it's enormous. It's pretty big, this new sheet. So I can agree with Wally and see his point that they're trying to put Speedway out of business by putting them so close to each other.
Yeah, well, whoever owns Speedway also owns the 7-Eleven chain, too. So got some deep pockets there. They're hurting them. I don't know if they'll put them out of business right away, though.
Yeah, but in the business world, it's not a matter of putting them out of business or bankrupting them. So let's say you're financially set, like a company like Speedway. We see this a lot in our business. Okay, is it worth staying in business if you're not making money? You know what I mean, so that's another element of it too. So if they lose market share so much, so let's say they lose 60% market share, and then the stores are just getting by with no, you know, they're not used to that kind of capital loss. A lot of them just close doors, not because of the fact of, you know, they did it because it gets to the point where the assets are worth more than the company, i.e. Spirit Airlines, same thing. The assets were worth more than the company. I mean, the engines alone, on all the jets they had, I've heard a story, they're selling those for $25 million apiece. So that's another way to look at it. Here. Oh, Donald, RCY, go ahead.
I have not seen any 7-Eleven and stores mixed with gas stations. I've seen one, I don't even remember where I saw it. I mean, you could put money on the table and I couldn't tell you, but I remember seeing that kind of a combination. So I kind of, I don't know what to say about 7-Eleven being competition with Speedway, so I can't answer that properly. And as far as the Spirit Airlines thing with the engines, I saw something on the news while I was down in Indiana for the 500. There was an airport that had all the jets, like, backed up against the fence, and they were, like, you know, lined up and, you know, just sitting there idle. And I thought to myself, what's going to happen to all these jets? Are the airlines going to buy them, or are they just going to be mothballed? And, Wally, you bring up the subject about the engines are more valuable than anything at the amount that you mentioned. And that I find that to be intriguing, what's going to happen to all these planes that aren't currently in use.
Yeah, well, I've never seen a Speedway gas station at a 7-Eleven location, but the parent company of one owns the other. That's why the Slurpee, which is a trademark of 7-Eleven, is available at Speedway and a bunch of other things. And if you have rewards for either one, they are offering a similar reward, but I can't use my Speedway card, rewards card, at 7-Eleven in Lake Mercy. And I've kind of looked into that. But, yeah, they might close some gas stations down here, but they've got gas stations all over the state. Sheets doesn't, and they're not going to at any time soon that I can see in some of the more rural areas where there's a Speedway or two. So, who knows? We'll just have to wait and see. As long as gas is somewhat cheap, I'll go to the cheapest one. As long as it's expensive, I have to stop driving. I can't afford to drive anymore.
Yeah, that's definitely got expensive. My pickup truck is a diesel, and that thing has been crazy money to drive lately. I mean, crazy, crazy. I mean, it's a 3/4-ton big truck. It gets really good mileage. It gets like 21, 22 for driving around a vehicle that big. But you're paying almost $7 a gallon to run it by the time you get done with the DEF fuel and the diesel fuel. Is it really worth it? You know, I mean, it just, I mean, the maintenance is, it's up there. I guess it probably washes out, goes about 15,000 miles without an oil change, but the oil change is a couple hundred bucks, so it's 3 gallons of oil. So, you know, but still, you know, $7 a gallon, that's a lot of frickin' money to be bussing around in a pickup truck. But back when I bought it in 2020, it was cool, and now it's not so cool. Donald?
I have a phone call. I'm on the phone with my sister. I'll catch you all later. W8RCY.
Oh, I hear you, Wally. I got 14 miles to the gallon pulling the trailer going up, and then I had a time constraint, so I was flying low coming back down. I got 16.5 miles to the gallon coming back, averaging about 78, 79 miles an hour. And from, just above quarter of a tank, it takes $75, $80 to fill this thing up. And that kind of hurts. But it's all I got. I wanted it. Now I got to pay for it. W8BPD.
Is yours a diesel?
No, sir. It's a 6.4-liter gas engine.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, I remember now. Yeah, the same thing. It adds up quick. So, but yeah, mine does pretty good. It doesn't matter if it's working or not. It's always the same mileage. That it doesn't care about that. But I just wanted it because it was cool. I don't think it'll ever pay for itself. But nonetheless, it's cool. How's retirement life? WD.
Well, considering I just took a week and remodeled the bathroom up north, and I brought all the construction debris back in the truck plus all of my Milwaukee tools to do the job. Yeah, it in my eyes, it pays for itself in those respects. It'll never ever pay for itself in other respects. When I need it, it's here and it hauls. I do have the fifth wheel set up, so, you know, I am truly, I can call it, haul the heavier loads. So, anyways, I love my truck. I don't think I'd give it up for anything but another truck similar to this.
Yeah, same way. I'm happy with my vehicle as well, so I can't complain. But right now, I'm driving a little Ford. What the heck is this? Escape. And I like this too, but this one belongs to the company. So, I mean, I'm part of the company, but for work vehicles, we got these. But lately, as we retire these out, we've been going to the little Ford Mavericks. We're having good luck with those too. So can't complain. But and we've got two diesel pickup trucks. One's fairly new, but we use those for tugging and towing and pulling trailers and things of that. Take that back. We got three pickups. We got a GM one, and we got two Rams. One's got like 180,000 miles on it. It's getting taken in to get deleted, and the other one's got 40,000, and I think the other one's got a couple hundred thousand on it. So that's our pickup truck extent. The rest are all service trucks, and that's just a mixture of everything.
Yeah, well, Mama's got a 03 Malibu or whatever it is, and we're going to look around here shortly and buy her something else as soon as I pay off this truck. And then I'm talking about just throwing the basic insurance on the Mama's car, old car, and driving that around for a while the gas prices are still elevated. I hate that thing because, you know, after peeing in the truck, it's like, your butt cheeks on the ground. But the
If it saves me a few bucks just doing the local running around and that, and it'll be worth it.
I'm back.
Welcome back.
I was going to say, I heard you know talk about new vehicles. I don't know how true this is, but this whole AI thing, overheard an article on talk radio or something that cars now, it all started with OnStar, that if you buy a high-end car, and I can't remember if they were talking about BMWs or Mercedes, you pay $70,000 for this vehicle, and you got the butt warmers in it, and you go to hit the button, and it doesn't work. The guy takes it to the dealership and says, hey, I paid $70,000 for this car, my heated seats aren't working. He says, well, you don't have a subscription for it. And like OnStar, if you want to use the butt warmers, you got to pay for this service on your vehicle. Long story short, I didn't catch all of it, but that's what it sounds like, what's happening with this new technology. If you want certain features like OnStar or SiriusXM or anything else, if something simple as a butt warmer, you have to pay a subscription, even though the system's already installed in your vehicle. That's the way things are going.
Well, it wasn't like me. I don't subscribe to that sort of stuff. Adding up what I do subscribe to. But, yeah, if I got to pay to use my butt warmers, they're not going to make a penny off of me because I don't use them that often. The truck automatically turns them on for me when the temperature gets low enough, but, yeah. No, I don't need all these bells and whistles. I think sometimes all these bells and whistles are the reason that we have some of the accidents that we have. People get drowsy because they're so comfy and their butts are warm, and there's 12-inch distractions in the middle of the truck, so. Six of one, half dozen of the other. Over to Wally.
Yeah, I don't think it's all the stuff in the car. I think it's texting. I think that that's the biggest thing. You just like drive right down right now, and I guarantee if I stare out the passenger window, if I wasn't driving, I guarantee you just about everybody I drive by, I'll bet you at least half of them are texting or on their phone or doing something. I think texting is the biggest hiccup with that. And I did hear about this subscription-based stuff that you're talking about, you know. But, you know, anything else in the real world, it's also market-based, okay? So if, you know, if nobody subscribes to it or very few subscribe to it, they give it up, you know. And then when they start losing market share, the other one I had heard is that apparently there's some royalties now for using Apple CarPlay and Android CarPlay. And some of the cars' radios aren't putting Apple and Android in it, and these cars are failing miserably. And, you know, and Chrysler tried, you know, with their pickup truck, they tried going to, you know, that six cylinders, what they call it, a Scorpion engine, Brian would probably know, failed miserably. I mean, they had to put a 5-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty on the car to sell it, and they were selling them $1,000 below sticker price to get rid of them. I mean, so, you know, they can try, but, you know, if you don't buy into it, eventually it bites them in the butt, you know. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, you make a valid point, but like I said, it was just something I heard odd these past couple of busy weekends on talk radio or something. They were talking about it and caught me by surprise, and I really haven't had a chance to weigh in on it, but, you know, well, you know, it's a matter of supply and demand, but it's just the cost of putting all these things in your vehicle, and then they turn around and take it away. I mean, I remember when OnStar was launched, and then it became a subscription, but your OnStar will work in the event of an emergency. It will locate your vehicle when you can't speak and, you know, tell you that the airbags are deployed and everything else, but why have OnStar to use the cell phone feature or call feature when you, like you say, you have your cell phone, and then they come ticket you for using your cell phone, and in fact, no, I was on my OnStar phone, you know, it's just this vicious circle of confusion for you know, all this technology they're putting in, and of course it's a distraction, and of course it's what leads to accidents. Brian, over to you, sir.
Well, I know when I'm on Android Auto, I can just say, hey, Google, and it will ask me what I want, and I can tell it to send an SMS to whomever, and it'll type it all and everything like that. I can do it totally hands-free, but it also still takes you to get distracted somewhat from driving because you're thinking about other things. But, you know, in this world of, well, I can't be unavailable at all. I don't care. My phone rings and I'm driving and I can't pick it up or hit the button on the dash, then it'll go to voicemail. You can tell me what you need and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Well, I am retarded now. I mean, retired.
You're connected to CMN Network.
W8VD. Yeah, like I said, it's weird. And, you know, a lot of the collision avoidance systems and things like that, it is pretty cool to keep it in your lane mode. That's pretty cool, you know, all that other stuff. But, yeah, Dan, you were talking about the OnStar thing. Well, apparently they lost quite a few lawsuits over that because there were some significant accidents that the consumer did not pay for that OnStar feature. The car didn't report, and because of it, it affected the outcome of the situation, and General Motors or OnStar lost some lawsuits. So now they, even if you don't pay, they do monitor it, and if you hit that button, even if you don't pay, they will answer it. So they kind of got themselves in a pickle there. So, you know, just like the thing with the turning off some of these features, you know, turn around and get sued for it because some guy with a bad back all of a sudden couldn't drive. Guess what's going to happen? So, you know, and lawyers love to take things like that up. And Don, your signal's got a buzz in it. Had it in there this morning, too. Sounds like a 60 hertz hum, just to let you know. You might have to put some choke filters around your wires or something. All right, go ahead, W8BD.
I'm about 2 feet from my Wi-Fi box. That might be the problem.
All right, gentlemen. I just got to do a Michigan left turn, and I'm at the golf course. So I will speak at you all later. Enjoy the rest of this gorgeous afternoon. W-A-B-P, I'll be clear on your final.
You take care. I'm going to step out as well. Going to make a few phone calls. Chat later, everyone. WAB.
Wally, I moved my location away because I was like seated right next to my Wi-Fi box. And is it any better or is it any worse before you sign off?
Just send me some dead air. It's more better.
Okay. I'll make sure I don't sit that close to it. It's like right back behind my shoulder there. And that could have been it. All right. Well, thank you for the advice and the tip. And enjoy your afternoon. Brian, enjoy your golf game. We'll catch everybody in the morning, I guess. W8RCY, we are clear for now.
WBD.
How'd they like your radio at work?
Yeah, I just got done showing it to
Deb and Mike. They're impressed.
There you go. Yep. It works. This is the multi-protocol part, but oh well.
Yeah, you're talking about they saying I should put the speakers up in the headliner. Have you ever seen that?
I thought about doing that once, actually, kind of side pillar headliner, kind of in that area where they meet. I had some room in a vehicle. I thought about doing that, but side pillars as well. You know, you use less speaker because it's right there by your ear. So, I like amplified speakers under the seat, and I blast them into the wheel well. I know it's not perfect because it does shape the audio a little bit, but that's my way of doing it.
Yeah, I may still end up doing something like that. But these, you know, the output of this thing, I don't think you need amplified.
Maybe not. The last time I did an amplified was off of, what radio was I running? Well, I think that was off my IC7000 for HF that I did that. I don't think it's got nearly as beefy an audio output as those things.
Yeah, that's true. So, I saw a listing on Facebook from somebody about an E5, and it was apparently a woman on that Moral Exchange board, and I don't know, I just didn't feel comfortable with the answers I was getting. She wouldn't take PayPal, and she offered a good price for it, and I don't know. I just didn't pull the trigger. I just didn't feel comfortable.
Yo, get a hold of John, WUO, and see if he'll get you his guys. He's got a guy that he deals with, and maybe he can hook you up.
Yeah. I mean, like, the first thing I asked Chris. She's only listed as being on Facebook for like a month, and she claims that because someone didn't have me to close one account and open another. Sounds funny. And then I asked her, I said, well, okay, you've got the control head. What about the power cable? And she says, oh, it comes with all the accessories. There are all the cables. And I said, well, which cables? And she says, all the accessories. And I said, well, there really is no such thing as, you know, all the accessories, because they're, you know, custom for, you know, different cable lengths, different things for whatever application you're using.
Well, you know, is she ignorant, just a seller, or is it more nefarious? That's the part you don't know.
Yeah, I just don't know. It's got a lot of photos and stuff like that. You know, I asked her for some references, and she only had one. And the guy, it almost sounded too good. You know how that goes.
I don't know what happened there, but your audio got so light, I couldn't hear you.
Really? I don't know. I didn't do anything different.
Is it just me? Anybody else listening?
Yeah, his audio went off a little bit, Casey at KGO.
W8RCY agrees.
Yeah, everybody else is right up there, but Phil, yours tanked off pretty significantly.
I wonder if there's an issue with this microphone cord. Let me wiggle it around a bit, testing 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, anything?
Nope, you sound better now, and I didn't hear anything as you were wiggling either. Weird.
Speaking of low audio, like the audio, you're about half the level of Donald there, and so I don't know. There's probably something going on with the receiver. Then people coming in different nodes.
Well, I'm on the 2.6 directly, and it could be me because I turned my mic gain way down yesterday on a recommendation.
Yeah, how are you guys coming in? You coming in over the 2.6 or through nodes? Go ahead, Donald.
I am now coming over the repeater site. I switched from the node to the repeater.
Can you go back and forth?
I'll get carpal tunnel turning the knob one quick, but yes, I can. I'm going back to the node.
Connected to CMN Network.
I am now on the node.
Yeah, see, that's much louder. And I think I'm the same thing when I was listening to you, and you're going through 2.6, I had to crank the volume up. So, I don't know.
Well, I am aware that's an issue, but this still doesn't explain why when I was listening to you, you were fine, and then you were gone, and then you were back to fine, unless you switched something.
No, I did not.
The only thing I can say is sometimes I still sound a little muffled between the two. And I click back and forth as you two were going back and forth, and I can't tell really which one it is, but just a little bit of muffling in his audio for what I'm hearing. WERCY.
Yeah, and Phil's got a little bit of static on his end, and I'm on 2.6.
I'm sorry, what'd you say? I've got what?
I thought I heard a little bit of popcorn in there. Not a lot, just a little. I mean, maybe Sean or Donald can reiterate, but that's what it sounded like to me for a second. Hey, take it, Joe.
I can pick up my power.
Yeah, and we're starting to introduce too many variables. Really, it was just about audio level, so you're fine now. Whatever.
Okay, just curious, you know, it's a new setup, and, you know, it could be some things that maybe aren't quite right. I know I did turn off the, you know, the pre-emphasis on both radios.
Yeah, I like this much better.
Ditto.
Am I making it through my repeater?
Yes, you are.
Okay. This is 50 watts. So I'm about 3 miles away from my house.
So what's going on with TJ's machine? Is it a link issue somewhere on his node? Is acting all goofy?
No, I think the transmitter is just, there's something wrong with the transmitter. The beeps and the, you know, are telling you that, and then sometimes I think it drops. So it's got some sort of issue with the transmitter. I think it always receives and it's always connected, but sometimes the transmitter just doesn't work.
Gotcha. At least I know I can push Warren out as far as I can, Wes.
All right, check out here, not that far from home. Got to deal with the rush hour traffic. So, and with them closing more ramps at 696, it's just going to get worse up here. So, catch you later. KDPR.
Have a good one, Phil. 73 for now. KCKJO. Who's up? Donald?
Yeah, I gotta find something for dinner. Everybody have a good afternoon. Sean, Phil, Tom, any of you guys still on the road, be careful. WARCY, we're gonna go find something to eat.
All righty, catch you later. Marco's Crustless Pizza.
Leftover thin crust pizza, that's what was for breakfast this morning.
I forgot to grab a fresh bagel. Spinach bagel, as a matter of fact. Ran out of the house too fast and I forgot it. Hey, Sean, have you been up to the Armada Flea Market? I'm not sure if you're a big bagel fan or not.
No, I haven't. I keep meaning to, and every time I think of it, you know, it's wrong timing and all that stuff. I've been really meaning to get up there.
Well, there's this one bakery van that's there every Sunday. Got to get there early if you like spinach bagels. And they're $1 a piece, so I always buy a dozen. And they are soft and they are delicious.
Did you say spinach bagels?
Yes, spinach bagels, and I think there's a pepper jack one, Asiago cheese, and salt, and onion, and all the other regular ones. But you can only get them on Sundays during Armada Fair. I mean the Armada Flea Market every Sunday.
Okay, well, remind me. Maybe I'll meet you there on Sunday. In fact, let's make it a plan. We'll go there, get some bagels, then we can go to the Tiger's Den and have a cup of cappuccino.
That'll work. Yeah, it's this Sunday. They're there from like 6 to noon, I think. They used to do it twice a week, but now they only do it once a week. And she's there every Sunday morning. If you get there early enough, you get the prime pick.
Yeah, I'm serious. If you want to meet up there this Sunday, see who else wants to meet up. We can go do coffee at the Tiger's Den afterwards. I like that place. Yeah, good food, too. I've had a few things there. So go get bagels and then go have an espresso and maybe a breakfast, something or other. At the Tiger's Den? Heck yeah. But I'm game for whatever.
Yeah, sounds like a plan. I'll tell Melissa. We can get out, you know. We got there yesterday at like 7:30 in the morning, so definitely we'll make it a morning. See if Walter and Marion want to join us in the morning. Then we can go to Tiger's Den.
All righty. It's a sort of kind of half date.
It is now to get Andre out of the house on one of these get-togethers. JCKJO.
I will try to convince her to go. But how early it is will be a detriment, but I'll see.
What's a half cake? Bagels and coffee Sunday morning at Armada Flea Market.
Yeah, that would be a full day. A half a day when you get stood up. That's a half a day. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Phone's been going crazy, so I've been in and out. Working. I'm getting tired of this. I'm really, really not. WABD. Good afternoon, Sean.
Good afternoon. No, it's two stops. One is the flea market for the bagels that Tom is claiming are out of this world. And then I figured since you want to get there early and get them while they're fresh and get the pick of the litter, we'll go do that first. And then we can all retire to the Tiger's Den where we can have can have cappuccinos and maybe a breakfast sandwich or something like that, and kibitz for a bit after we're done with the flea market.
Oh, very good. Sounds good. My GPS told me to take Jefferson home. Told me to get off at 11 Mile, and I did, and it's telling me to go to Shook. So I'm running along the beautiful lake shore. Thanks for the shores and the township. Good day, Tom. Did you ever have your GPS part of that?
100%. Beautiful drive. Sometimes I've gone from Detroit all the way east on Jefferson, up the Shook, and then Jefferson all the way to the, the Metro Parkway, because that's where it ends, and then, I think that's where it ends, yeah, I think so, and then from there I take it all the way, you know, jump around and take it on the other side of the air base, all the way into Baltimore. You get all that, or you dying out over there. It's a beautiful drive.
No, I just hit the part where it's like 45 miles an hour, so I must have went from St. Clair Church to Harrison Township. So I'm moving along about 47. Pretty good. So at least I'm moving. You can't complain about that. Let's see what else. Oh, Sean was still there. How goes it, Sean?
Oh, not horribly bad. I'm just trying to read up on something here. So I've been about 75% in the conversation here. But I perked up when I heard bagels, so in a get-together, two of my favorite things.
Okay. I'll just let you read in one end, just hear your call. I'll do my best to leave a gap. I'm an iron good at that. But there's room for improvement. Right, Tom?
Yeah, Wally, you got to get the missus out and meet up at the Armada Flea Market. Sean's going to try to get Andy out and see if she'll partake in the festivities. I know Melissa will, no problem. She loves hanging out with you guys. And, yeah, they are good bagels, and they have bagel twins. I had one yesterday. Same price as a bagel, $1. And I had the salt twist. And oh my gosh, are they fantastic.
I just don't get where all this frickin' traffic is coming from lately. I just ran into a red zone. Good God.
Where are you at?
Shook Road and I-94, trying to head northeast. Complete standstill.
The last time I went that way, I was stopped a little bit before that. They got it all crunched down to one lane, and it just takes forever to crunch down. And then, yeah, I don't know if you're looking at the same thing I was looking at. Hard to imagine that's still a problem.
Well, so far they've cut it down to two lanes, and my guess is the speed they might have cut it down to one lane.
You're on I-94 eastbound. I think once you get past Shook and North River Road, she should open up a little bit.
I don't know. I just saw an interesting sign that says concrete curing.
Well, go over there and write your name in it.
Not lucky you get run over.
I'll just be happy you're going in one direction, northeast. Unlike me yesterday where I took three trips down to O'Reilly just for brake rotors.
Yeah, I think I heard you carrying it up a bit yesterday, WAPD. So, oh, you're right, if it's just Metro, it cleared up. Oh, look, everything on my desk turned green. Maybe I'll get lucky.
So tomorrow I get to drive to Novi. Novi, I got to be at Novi by 8:30. So I'm going to do that. Walker's game is tonight. So, and then Wednesday, I think I might show up to the, there's an interview process for, I think, for a couple guys. I might show up to that. They need me, depending on where it goes. I haven't talked to Tim in a couple days. I'm going 100 miles an hour. So I might find out if they need me. They need me fine. If they don't, fine. But I'd be glad to do my part to help out with that. And what else? I think that's it. Doctor's appointment on Thursday. I'm just going there and trying to figure out how to retire from all of this. So lots going on.
To find a good dollar between here at 26 and Rapids. Yeah, tomorrow I got Grand Rapids, Saginaw, and then Short Street. They're going to be in Grand Rapids. Gets me 9 and 10, so that's going to be a trip and a half right there.
Where are you at? Just on Hudson.
Dyke and 26 Mile Road.
Does Romeo work any better for you there?
Romeo, Romeo, we're for Arkell Romeo. KTKGO.
WHC. Whitey, 1 mile road. Woohoo!
Yeah, I was talking with Sean about these bagels at the Armada Flea Market. She's there every Sunday, and she has spinach bagels, and I think a pepper jack bagel, and a couple other oddball bagels that are really good. And they're $1 a piece, so $12 a dozen. Well worth every penny. And they're fresh made that morning from a special bakery. And they only do them Saturday night for Sunday morning, so, or early Sunday morning, so she can pick them up. And they are really good and soft. You can cut them with a butter knife. They're so soft.
Just remember, our second Sunday of this month is our Northeast and breakfast at 8:30.
Connected to CMN Network.
I'm going to have the rep website redone because that's not the second Sunday.
Is it today the second?
Today is the first.
Thank you, Sean. Kilo Foxtrot 8 Echo Tango Cuba.
Okay, we're going to have to put a blurred email out or a blurb or whatever they call that thing. Make sure that everybody knows it's next Sunday.
Sunday, the second Sunday of June, not the first.
I wonder. N-A-W-R-O. Oh, look at a spam call. N-A-W-R-O. You here?
Yes, sir. I'll get a hold of John and have that changed. Second Sunday, right?
Yes.
Will do. N-A-W-R-O. Clear.
Still doing bagels at 7:30 in the morning on Sunday. Oh, guys, also, I found out how much it costs to replace the rotors and the pads on the Explorer. Ooh, that was stupid money.
Oh, do tell.
The rotors were 160 a piece, and the pads were another 200.
That's a lot of money. Yo, Darren, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off. WAV, getting off at my exit. Finally.
I was just happy that Sean mentioned that the second is not today, but tomorrow, because I have a date at the court, sadly. Kilo Foxtrot 8 Echo Tango, Quebec.
I'm going to butt right in here real quick. You got a plan to win this thing?
Was that to me?
Yeah, this is your using the microphone and warning something, right?
100% correct, and yes, I'm hoping I'm winning it. It seems pretty straightforward to me.
Oh, wow. I hope so, too. No. And don't let them bleed it down. Could be a money grab. I had a deal one time where they claimed I passed the school bus and I was out fishing that day. Then they wanted me to bleed it down. Go, no, I'm not doing any of that. Then they came back to me and said, well, the judge is having a bad day. And I said, and so am I. And they made me hang around there until 2 o'clock. And then finally they told me I could go. It was dismissed. But they were bound and determined to try to get some money out of me. No bus driver showed up. No camera showed up. No film showed up. All this stuff that they said that they had on me, and they got nothing. They had nothing. So good luck for yours, sir.
Thank you. Kilo Foxtrot 8 Echo Tango, Quebec.
Okay, Tom, go ahead.
Yes, found out that I can't just put ordinary rotors and pads on it because it's heavy duty. So the rotors, standard rotors are 352 millimeters, and the ones I need are 357 millimeters. And they are specific to the hub, which are specific to the vehicle. So, yeah. And then some heavy suckers, too, and big.
My guess is this probably got that special package on it, extra heavy duty brakes, because of what it did early in its life. Sean, if you're still there, say hi. If not, back to Tom. WAVD. We have an ambulance in our subdivision and a police car.
The ambulance must be Dave's, and the police car is not mine.
Nah, this officer was a lot prettier than you.
All my scanner is on, so I can't tell what it is.
All right, I'm stepping out. Wheels are down. I'm on the approach ramp. All that other funny crap stuff that we say once in a while. You take care. I'll talk to you later. W-H-3-D, clear up to there.
Alright, sounds good. I gotta go back into Richmond and O'Reilly's and go pick up, you know, 2 tons worth of brake rotors because they're heavy. 73 for now. KACKJL.
Hey, Tom, this is Cliff. I got a quick question for you. I'm going to see if I can't hunt something down for you. What model year is that Explorer that you bought, the police one?
2016, 1-6.
All right, copy that. What displacement was the engine again?
3.7 liter.
All right, copy that. I'm going to see if Rock Auto has heavy-duty parts available for that. So it's 2016 with a 3.7 liter engine. Got it. And it's CAF, Sierra Monitoring.
KCKJL.
KC8KJO, KC8KGO from NHCAF.
NHCAF, KC8KJO, go ahead, Cliff.
I found something a bit curious. I was wondering about the actual diameter of the rotors. Because everything I've been able to locate says the standard diameter rotors are 325 millimeters. And the police interceptor rotors are 352 millimeters. Is that correct?
100% they're Bennett caps. So they are specific. They have to be the right rotors to go on the hub, or I got to change the hubs out.
All right, copy that. It's a 5-lug pattern, right? Did they give you the diameter on the lug pattern by any chance?
Say that again, Cliff. I'm sorry. I got distracted by an ambulance. KCKJL.
Ah, that's all right, Tom. It's easy to get distracted in today's world. Now, I was just wondering if they gave you the, there's a name for it and I can't remember. But if they gave you the diameter for the lug studs with the the diameter of the circle is. Because what I'm reading here is it's supposed to be a 114 millimeter circle with 5-lug studs.
Yep, she's a 5-lug, and they're 357 diameter or width. And the tires on them are 18s. So they're big tires. And I know that I brought it up to O'Reilly's last night. And we looked it all over. So I got the right ones. I just got to go pick them up. And they're forged iron, so they're heavy SOBs.
Oh, that I have no doubt. But I'm over here on Rock Auto, and I've got what looks like an easy 15. Those rotors that would fit. You've got choices of vented hats, solid hats, painted. The only thing, they're the correct diameter. Most of them are listed as for being the police interceptor package, and the only thing that I would need to know for sure is whether or not any of these rotors would fit would be the bolt circle diameter for the lug stud. It's supposed to be 114 millimeters.
I would have to look, but I think that's what they are. And like I said, if I don't get the right rotors, then I'm going to change the hubs, and I'm not going to spend extra money for hubs when I don't need to.
Nope, no need for that. It's also listed as 4.5 inches for the bolt circle diameter. So does that sound right to you?
Yeah, that sounds about right. All right, I'm just pulling in. I gotta go pick them up. I will chat at you soon. Bye, brother. KCKGO.
All right, copy that, Tom. I'll be here for a few more minutes. NHCAF.
NHCAFKCKGO.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
Yeah, I'm still here, Tim. I got a few more minutes yet. So how much did you say those rotors were again?
Oh, I think they're about 160, 180.
Was that a piece or for the pair?
Oh, no, a piece.
Okay, one of the things I found at Rock Auto, the correct size rotors for your truck. Two top names. One of them is Bosch, quiet cast rotors. These things are the most rust resistant things I've ever seen. They're $71 a piece. Or if you want to go top-notch, high-end name, you can go with Brembo's for $102 a piece.
Well, I got them for $150 a piece because I go through my neighbor's shop, and I just go in there and special order them. They're special order. They're big and they're heavy.
Yeah, I know. Like I said, I was digging into this for a bit after, you know, hearing you talk about it. I'm just going, I'm going to take a gander and see if you can get exactly what he needs off of Rock Auto. And yes, you can. The exact orders you need. If you're going through a friend's shop, he was giving you a break and stuff like that. But, you know, next time around when you go to replace the rotors, hunt them down on Rock Auto. You're going to have all the specs you need. They've got them for sale. There's like 20 different versions out there from, you know, 15 different manufacturers, and several of them are the top-notch ones, like I just mentioned, like Bosch and Brembo. So, you know, for the future, after you run these rotors out, when you go to get new ones, you can get ones that fit for a lot less than what you paid.
What's nice is they have lifetime warranties, so I can only drive these things down to the fins, take them off, bring them back to O'Reilly's and order and get a new set for free.
Well, let's hope it doesn't come to that, because taking fins usually means taking out your calipers too, so.
Oh yeah, I got one pad that's already gone, so that's how I knew that it was going. So I got the pads too. The pads were about $200. It's all police package stuff, and I got a discount, so the two rotors and the pads came out to just under $300.
Oh, that doesn't sound too horrible. How much is it going to cost for you to get them installed?
Times a steak and a beer. Other times, I help him work on his car, or I just throw him cash and he tells me how much, and I just throw it. It's way less than my actual mechanic.
All right, that works. That works. Like I said, I was just curious, and I was wondering if I could, you know, possibly find a better deal, because I'm poor enough that I have to do this sort of thing to keep my stuff on the road.
Oh, I have an account at Rock Auto, too. You know, with the Escalade, I ordered a bunch of front-end parts, all Moog, and he put it all in. And this guy's good. I mean, he had my front-end aligned within, half a centimeter. I mean, it was pretty much dead on. And then I just took it to Belt Tire, and they're like, oh, no, they did this wrong, that wrong, and I had to flip the locking pins around, blah, blah, blah. But literally, the tolerance that he set it at was so close, it was ridiculous. And that was by eye.
Well, none of it is as hard as a lot of people seem to think it is. And the only reason Belt Tire was going off on you is because to them, you just got thousands of dollars worth of work done that they could have pocketed the cash for, and they're mad about it, so they're trying to pick on everything to try to get more money out of you.
Oh, but it was my, what's really funny, it was my mechanic that said, okay, you need this, 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 and this. And we know you do work on your own car, so these are the parts that you want to order. I said, okay, so I ordered them from Rock Auto, and my neighbor put it all together. So I said, you know, my mechanic is also a friend of mine, so he tells me, you know, how much it's going to cost through him and with the labor and everything else like that. I tell my neighbor, and he goes, well, we could do it for this amount of money. I'm like, okay, let's do that. And then I throw the cash at him, you know, for the labor cost. And then he gets the parts at a discount, so go through him. A lot cheaper.
Yep. Sounds to me like it is all working out for you. And I know how you feel about having to fix the thing even on the go and whatnot to get it back on the road. You're letting a bunch of work to that bit that I got now, too. Just yesterday, I replaced the left front axle in it.
KKKL. Yeah, I had to do that in the Escalade. The driver's side front CV shaft was making a lot of clunky noises, which means that the U-joints were locking up. And I'm like, okay, I'm done playing with this thing. It's going to cost me more than the car was worth, so I just got rid of it. But you did all the work on the front end and stuff. Plus, I got 60,000 miles on her. Yeah, about 60,000 miles, 70,000 miles out of that truck when I bought it in 2020, so she lived a good life.
Yeah, you got 6 years driving out of it and all that? Yeah, you did all right with that. Anyway, it's time I got to scoot because I got to get somewhere soon. It's good talking to you again and hearing the other guys out here earlier. And but I'm going to let you go to get about your business while I go get on about mine. This is NACAF, clear and listening out after your final, sir, 73.
All right, sir, yeah, I'm just about to pull into town here, so drop these off with my neighbor. I will chat at you later. 73, KJO.
NACAF.
N-A-W-R-O. All right, I'll go to the other radio. Disregard. N-A-W-R-O, clear.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
KFA, GBA, Tom and Bertrand listening.
Connected to CMN Network.
How are you doing today, Jack? Well, Mike, how are you, sir? I haven't heard you a long time. Maybe tonight. Yeah, tonight is Monday night. Is it not?
Yep, you got it. You got it. Starts in a couple minutes. I don't do net control tonight, but I'm going to end up calling in, so I only got a couple of minutes, but I figured I'd ask you what you've been up to and how the garden's come along. Did you end up planting your tomatoes yet?
Come on back, Mike.
All right. I just was asking about your tomato plants and... I'm not doing net control on KDAC tonight, but I will be calling into it later. But I'm just wondering how you've been.
I've been okay. Thank you for asking. Yeah, that's headache, man. That tomatoes and cucumbers and all that, it takes time, and you have to, you know, do it like a little baby, you know, not even a year old. You have to plant them the way they're supposed to be, you know, and also you got to put the food for them, too. But anyhow, it's done, but I forgot the cherry tomatoes and also the eggplant. And every time I want to go and get some flowers, I have three places to put flowers, but didn't get a chance. How about you?
I don't know. Lately, I've been, I went camping last weekend for, you know, over the weekend. Even though it was a little bit rainy, I still enjoyed it. More recently, I'm trying to retune my, my Hustler 5 band vertical antenna. I took it down a few times. I climbed the ladder a few times. I've been messing with that thing. I don't know what I've done with it now. But we'll get it straightened out eventually. But no, dogs are doing all right, and I'm keeping busy with work all the time, so I don't really have too much time to play radio. So, all right, I'll let you go. You gonna call into the net?
Yes, I have a vertical. It's 10 meter, 20, 40, and 80. Okay. I don't know what kind of coax cable you got on it. The original one when I had it was a LMR 400. Then I had to replace a few parts. I took the parts off. I don't know if you want to write that down. When I put together, I put the coax cable number 8, a small piece number 8, and I ran in all the way inside. And I converted to LMR 400, and really it works great. You shouldn't take it down and up all that time. Anyhow, I will send you the picture of the vertical I had. But that vertical, it works better in a wire.
Yeah, the takeoff angle is pretty impressive with the vertical. When I had it tuned a little bit, it was... 10 was good, 15 was good, 20 was pretty much trash, and then 40 was decent, and 80 was unusable because I didn't trim the top of it. There's this top wire with a ball on top of it. I must have skipped that step, and I just shoved that thing in there and tightened it down, and so 80 meters was basically unusable, but now it's usable. So I gotta get all my measurements straightened out again and take some more readings, and I got it way out of whack now, but I know what I did, so I'm just gonna undo what I did and try to get it back to where it was. But and that's all I can really hope to do. All right, it's 9 o'clock, so they're probably calling for check-ins. KF8 DRC, KF8 EDQ 73, and maybe we'll hear you on the net.
Hi, Mike. Good talking to you. Take care. I will do that. KF8 DRC.
Currently connected to CMN Network.